Well, that's just great. Wasn't counting on that. Sorry about the hateful noises there. So for some reason or another, I'm getting the blue screen of death from good old Windows 10 here. And hopefully it'll restart in fairly short order. Not encouraging, but hey, we've got the streams both streaming merrily along. We got audio coming out of the board, so we should be all right somewhere along the way after the restart and everything. The Skype link is up, by the way, at headon.live. Run on over there and refresh the page if you haven't already. And the Skype link for getting into Friday on the Front Porch is right there for your use. We'll be getting our Front Porch conversation going in the next, hour or so. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. Headon.live is where we live on the interweb tubes. That's two blue screens of death in less than 24 hours. That's not a good sign. Something's sideways. We'll sort it out over the weekend, I hope. And again, it just affects the production computer, not the actual stream going out. Every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude. And so thanks go out for this 8th day of the month to our subscribers for that day of the month. Partial sponsors of about a week of the month's programming. Thanks to Nancy. Thanks to Brendan. Thanks to Sue, otherwise known as For Earth. Thank you to Marcia. Thank you to Dwayne. And thank you, Tom. Thank you all very kindly for being subscribers. And thanks as well to Brandon and Fennell in Brooklyn. And thank you to Tom. Thank you very kindly. U.S. Postal Service subscribers. Thank you to Jude in the Great Northwest, another U.S. Postal Service subscriber. We treasure our subscribers as well as our a la carte contributors, because that's how all of this continues to go night after night, week after week, month after month, and yes, year after year, and even decade after decade. Because we're on our second decade of broadcasting here. All right, getting the computer rebooted. Such fun. Where are we? Program note. I have to be away from the mic Thursday and Friday of next week. So we came into the program with a $400 fundraising goal for this week. That's yesterday and today. Tracy's "I love my family so much, I'm putting up with fools" challenge is on the table, and that would knock out 100 of what remains. And remember, she said if the challenge is met, she'll throw in something else to make life interesting. So that would knock out 100, and that would leave 300 to go to see us complete the week on schedule this first full week of November 2019. And with any luck, this will be my last Friday on the Front Porch as a smoker. Because come Sunday night, I strap on the patch, and away we go. So, yeah, fingers crossed. And I'll let you know it may be the moraniest Moran Monday we've had in a long time by the time airtime rolls around on Monday. But anyway, program note, no program next week, no Friday on the Front Porch, no Thorn in the Side Thursday, so we may have a Thorn in the Front Porch Wednesday meeting or something. Just to keep things somewhat scheduled. Huh. You know, shortly before airtime, I took a call from what the phone told me was Mahwah, who knew, Mahwah, New Jersey. I presume that's an old Native American word. Well, I mean, yeah, I kind of do. Brother Deacon Asa asking, you sure you want to quit cigarettes during this particular presidential term? Well, that's the whole point, Brother Deacon. If I don't, I'll be up to like 19 packs a day by January 20th, 2021. And I get that that's not sustainable on either a physical, a mental, or a financial basis. So it's kind of got to happen. And, you know, I've been doing little things to prove to myself that I can do it, you know, working on other on breaking other little behaviors. And by Jove, I've proven myself successful so far. So hallelujah. It might make me a better person. Who knows? Or maybe it'll just make me a non-smoking person. My lungs will like me better. My heart will like me better. And maybe with the additions of some exercise and stuff, my blood pressure will come down. Yay for that. I'm starting the new blood pressure med this evening, right before bedtime. Well, okay. Brother Deacon's obviously very concerned. Are you at least going to switch to huffing glue? No, but you know what I may switch to? Because I needed it. I may switch to huffing Penzies seasonings. My second box of Penzies arrived today. Oh my goodness gracious! And I immediately had to try because our buddy Christopher in the Front Porch Group had mentioned it so glowingly. I had to immediately taste the Pico Fructis, and it's everything he said it was. Absolutely delightful. Some chili and some lime and a little sweet. I can imagine, yeah, I can see that being sprinkled on, heck, banana slices or mango slices or apple or peaches or just about anything and really picking them up, picking them up and making them something entirely new and wonderful. All right, so anyway, we got the $400 fundraising goal. Steve from Georgistan, pinch hit midweek utility chat room moderator and all around great guy, Steve from Georgistan, has gotten us started. And there in the chat room, folks are beginning to gather. Squeaky's there. Hail Mary is there. All capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has folded space to become Man Cave. And he is ably assisted by, yes, indeed, pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan, who just got us started on Tracy's I Love My Family So Much, I'm Putting Up With Fools challenge. And, yes, thanks indeed to the generous contribution of the Penzies spices. There's wonderful stuff in there, and I can't wait to use it all. At the same time, I picked up another couple of boxes. I was at the mailbox today. Picked up a couple of boxes from our buddy Tim, otherwise known as Zed, who, sort of hearing me talking about flavorings and seasonings and spices, sent me a couple of boxes. I mean, there's enough seasonings in there. Let's put it this way. I'm more eager for spring now than I was yesterday. Because I've got enough spices and seasonings to practically open a restaurant every day. Come warm weather again, every day is going to be something tasty. And hell, even the cold days are going to be something seasoned wonderfully and tasty. I can't wait to taste some of these things. So thank you, Tim, and thank you to our nameless friend who sent along the Penzies. I'm just totally stoked. Ron in Raleigh lets me know that Mahwah, New Jersey, is where I send my Pulsar watches to be repaired. Who would have thought? Well, they're probably fishing that number when it comes right down to it, because that was where I was going. So I take this call from Mahwah, New Jersey, and I've seen it come through several times before, and they won't quit. Needless to say, this is not a phone call that I want to get. It's not a robocall, but it's spam. And it was the most deliciously ironic kind of spam. And so consequently, I have to, I'm promising, I'll sacrifice a rubber chicken to the goddess of irony the next time it's not too cold outside to stand around sacrificing rubber chickens to the goddess of irony. I'm sure she'll understand. Because it was a pitch for me to sign up for, wait for it, Sirius XM Radio. And I said, no thanks. And the guy, being a telemarketer, decided to be cute and make the second pitch. And he said, well, we just want to make sure that you've got all your options. I said, listen, bub. The only thing I would be interested in on Sirius XM would be your progressive channel. And your progressive channel doesn't have Mike Malloy. Your progressive channel doesn't have Rick Smith. Your progressive channel doesn't have anybody I'm particularly interested in. I said, I do progressive radio, pal. And I've done it for 14 years, and with half my brain tied behind my back and blindfolded, I can do it better than just about anybody you've got on your progressive channel. So why in God's name would I want to give you money to hear something that isn't half as good as what I do? And that I do for a lot less than any of the aspiring millionaires on your channel. I said, I know what your progressive channel is. I know it's run by an individual who barely knows who is so deeply steeped in broadcasting that she barely knows which end of the microphone to talk into. So no, I'll pass. He said, well, are you absolutely? I said, Bub, remove me from your list. Are we clear? I would not take Sirius XM if you fucking gave it to me. Because we got it. Don't, you know, telemarketers, I know, you got a shitty job. But after you've been told no, take that training that your managers insisted that you go through and throw it out the window. Because you're not going to get me on a second or a third pitch. Because when I said, if you gave it to me for free, he said, but that's what we're trying to do. I said, Bob, listen, I just told you if you gave it to me for free, I wouldn't take it. How much clearer do we have to get? I said, now, either remove me from your list or escalate me to a manager. You pick. Click. So I owe the goddess of irony a rubber chicken. And it's all because of the new used car we had to buy because the old one got totaled. It came with Sirius XM in it, and I don't know, it's communicating with the mothership or something, telling them that my Sirius isn't activated, and it's making the queen of the Borg have a sad because I'm not part of the collective. But honestly, I mean, I generally don't trash other people's content. What is there on Sirius XM on their progressive channel that I would want to listen to? They got rid of Mark Thompson. And it really is being programmed by an individual whose knowledge of radio is right up there, just slightly less than my 12-year-old granddaughter's. So there's that. Zerlina Maxwell. God, she got hired because she was in charge of Hillary Clinton's less than stellar online outreach in 2016. I mean, that might qualify you to do the website for Waffle House, but really? Run an entire progressive channel on Sirius XM? How is that possible? I mean, she's unlistenable. And I don't... And look, before anybody goes, oh, well, Bob, you know, you're no white man. Dig it. I could, if I was the lord of all creation or whatever, I could put Lady B behind a mic at Sirius XM and, you know, she'd have millions of listeners the next day. Because she's that good, she's that talented. And she knows about radio because radio is a thing that should be done by people who know about radio. So, no, it's not a... Yeah. Oh, no. Brother Deacon Asa says, Bob, you'll hear from Ron. You're going to miss out on the Will Cow Majority and Breitbart Radio on Sirius Patriot. Your loss, friend. However will I get over that? Well, Steve from Georgia Stan and Todd in South Carolina Stan both appreciate the use of the word bub. That's a great story, says Todd, about the telemarketers. Every time you say bub, I see you with the Bugs Bunny head pointing the carrot at the perpetrator. What's all the hubbub, bub? Yeah. Yeah, with good reason. I mean, I like Mark Thompson. Mark Thompson and I were buddies. We met at several Netroots Nations. We even sang Country Roads Take Me Home together in New Orleans. That was for the ages. Is Sam Cedar on Sirius's progressive channel? I mean, is there anybody worth listening to on Sirius XM's progressive channel? Yeah, well. But we are at the we're at the end of the week, and the 9-millisecond news cycle has not let up. Well, there we go. Going back, Query asks Ron and Raleigh, who in the hell is on Sirius XM Progressive? If none of the folks you mentioned are on it, who is? Well, I know for one, Dean Obadala is, and he seems like a nice enough young guy. He's a guy who went to law school and then decided not to lawyer anymore and became like an intern for Saturday Night Live and then worked his way onto the writing staff and then got himself a gig doing Sirius Radio. Sirius Progressive. He's a sharp character. But just, well. Anybody in the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department want to look up the Sirius XM lineup? Hopefully that will be the last call that I get from them. Hopefully. And yeah, thank you to Jim for the lovely cards he sent for Ferg. Ferg appreciated them deeply. Thank you, Jim. And thank you to Charlene, a member of the Sorority of Leans and a charter member of Queen Tracy's Reverse Oreo Society. We now have only $20 left to go on Tracy's challenge. And after that's done, we've only got $300 to go to finish the week. So thank you very much indeed. Next week, you know, before I'm away from the air, away from the mic for 2 days, that's going to be big fun. I've got cheap blood work Wednesday coming. So I'm going to try to, like, eat nothing and consume no sugars and live the life sanitary. And hopefully my triglycerides will be, oh, only, you know, 400 to 600 instead of their usual 1,000 when we go to do that. Gotta love those genetics. Oh, yes, you do. What's that? Irwin says, please, Bob, explain pork belly. And references a recipe for hot beet soup with pork belly. Bietes Zuppe. Well, damn, doesn't that just sound tasty? Pork belly is where bacon comes from. Bacon is seasoned and cured and smoked, hanged and smoked pork belly. In its unseasoned form, it's just this lovely fatty pork that takes really well to marinating and poaching and parboiling. And in ramen, it's done in a roll, and you cut the slices, and then you, like with a blowtorch or whatever, you sizzle the outside of, and that's called chashu. Wait, Brother Deacon Asa says they have Al Franken on Sirius XM Progress. Well, okay, Sirius XM Progress. Here we've got the schedule. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you, Ron. In Raleigh. Let's find out what we're missing. They have a wacky, zany morning zoo crew. Yeah, okay. So who do they have? Michelangelo Signorelli, John Fugelsang, Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Dean Obadala. Yeah, they got Fugelsang working Malloy's old 9 to midnight shift. Oh, their wacky morning zoo crew is Zerlina Maxwell. And yes, Al Franken does an hour from 10 to 11. And then I guess they repeat it at 3 to 4. Oh, no, that's the weekend schedule. Never mind. Six a.m. to seven a.m. Tell me, John Fugelsang. Seven a.m. to nine a.m. Unlistenable with Zerlina Maxwell. Nine a.m. to noon, Stephanie Miller. Noon to three, Tom Hartman. Three to six, Michelangelo Signorelli. Yeah, okay. Nope, not worth my money. But you know, that's just me. Yeah, what's that? Randy says, if you mix chopped cooked beets into corned beef hash, you get red flannel hash. Well, my goodness gracious, that sounds like it's worth trying. Yes, indeed. Oh, well, there goes pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around well, great-ish guy, Steve from Georgistan, peeing in my Wheaties. Hate to be a killjoy, brother, but an A1C test looks back 90 days. That's okay. Yeah, I'm not sitting here just, pounding down the chocolate fudge brownie blizzards or anything. I think we're going to be okay. I think we're going to be all right. Yeah, except for the, and I'll have to, when we get to the front porch portion of the program, I'll have to check in with Sparky. I'll have to have him tell me again the name, the Thai word for the sweet Thai tea. Because I got one here in front of me, which is probably not at all good for my A1C test, but I think I'm going to be okay. It's more the triglycerides, because here's how it usually works out. Good cholesterol, unmeasurable because it's so low. Bad cholesterol, sort of measurable. Triglycerides, terrifying. And there's not much can be done about it. I mean, I could run 8 miles a day and live on nothing but fucking kale, and my triglycerides would still be through the roof because I am genetically predisposed to do that because some of my ancestors, we over the course of 100,000 years or so, we wandered out of Africa, up through the Caucasus, and decided even in the Ice Age that, Germany was too toasty and wound up somewhere up in the regions of Scandinavia, where we had to evolve to be able to store massive amounts and create massive amounts of fats. And then we started wandering south. Got in our long ships and stopped in Scotland and England and raped and pillaged for a while. And, the Scots went over to Ireland and fell on the ground and prayed to God and then fell on the locals and prayed on them. And I got tired of that and then came over here and proceeded to build stills and smokehouses so that they could further their fat-producing industries, their lipid-producing industry. And I'm still drawn to it like a bee is to a honeysuckle. You gotta break in. You gotta break those habits, and that's what I'm working on. Well, thanks, Clarity. Roy Moore, YT, Ty T, YTs. Clarity is a past mistress of wordplay. Roy Moore, YT, Ty T, YTs. Back at you, East Coast. Have you tried talking rhodiola for stress? Is that supposed to be talking or taking, Clarity? Because I ain't never talked no rhodiola, and I don't even know what it is. But I'm trying to do a lot more. Oh my fucking God! I can't believe Trump is president. Oh my fucking God! I can't believe Trump is president. And it seems to work a little bit. So, there we go. But we've got, like I said, the 9.2 millisecond news cycle is almost more than any human being should be able to, should have to contemplate. And I get tired of the constant tales o' Trump. But some of them are just unavoidable. And just by virtue of age and education and experience and training, some of them piss me off more than others do. Must be mighty nice to have yourself some Secret Service protection. You may recall the author and journalist E. Jean Carroll. She published a book not too long back in which she alleged that Donald Trump raped her in a department store. Now, me, I have no problem believing her allegation because, after all, Nitwit Nero, or in this case, Marcus Aurelius, perhaps the Chlamydia Claudius, has confessed on numerous occasions to committing sexual crimes. You know, grab them by the pussy. You can do that when you're famous. They just let you. So when she published this latest allegation, because Nitwit Nero has donkey ears, he couldn't keep his mouth shut like his lawyers had to have told him to. Hey, just shut up. Just let it go. The news second's 9.2 milliseconds long. The story will disappear in less than a day if you just shut the fuck up, Don. But instead, they have to bow and scrape and say, yeah, gee, dear boss, you know, she's a real whore. You know, you should probably go outside and call her a whore in public. You should do that. You should say that she's so ugly that you would never want to fuck her. Which is essentially what Chlamydia Claudius did. He engaged in defamation against E. Jean Carroll. Well, this didn't sit well with E. Jean Carroll, and E. Jean Carroll went out and hired herself a lawyer by the name of Robbie Kaplan. I don't know how you get to be a highfalutin New York lawyer and you still let people call you Robbie. I mean, maybe E. Robert. I mean, I can't imagine juries going, oh, yeah, that Robbie Kaplan. He'll either bust your ass in court, but right. Well, such is what it is. Who am I? But Robbie Kaplan is her lawyer, and he has sued on her behalf, the venereal Vespasian. And he sent on four separate occasions. Now, understand, there's a rule in the background here. In order to initiate proceedings again in court against someone, first you have to type up your complaint. And then you have to have the case information sheet from the clerk's office and you get a summons, okay? And the summons and the complaint have to be personally served upon the defendant. And the court has a real preference for personal service because that means that the defendant can't say, they left it wrapped up in the newspaper. I think my dog usually eats the newspaper. I don't know. Is she suing me? I never heard of it. Who knows? The court likes personal service. There's service by publication, and there's service by Secretary of State and things like that. And the court tends to say, no. You know, we want to make sure that the defendant really got this in his tiny, grubby, little perverted hands. And Robbie Kaplan has sent a process server four times to that tacky-ass tower in New York known as Trump Towers. And four times, he has been prevented, the process server has been prevented from leaving the complaint at the desk, because you can't just get on the elevator and go up and knock on Trump's door and hand it to whoever answers. Oh, no, they won't. No. but the Secret Service of the United States of America is actively impeding a process server from serving process on Geezer Disgustus. That, in case you're wondering, is wrong. And it should probably get whoever's the head of that Secret Service team fucking fired. You know, no pension for you. No more salary for you. Go be a mall cop. Because this, just let that sink in. The Secret Service is deliberately and intentionally impeding an officer of the court in the performance of his or her designated duties. And, you know, you can read case after case after case. The stories of service of process are kind of fascinating. Like one process server who rented an apartment that was across an alley from the defendant who would not answer the door. And then when warm weather came, opened the window, and the process server had practiced wadding up the suit papers and throwing them the distance of the space, the alley. And when the window came up, the process server was there, wadded up the complaint and hummed it across the alley and into the apartment and yelled, "You're served." You ought not have to do that with the president of the United States. What Robbie Kaplan needs now is to go to some member of the media, you know, the White House press corps, and give it to them so that they can throw it at Trump and Hall and say, "You're served, motherfucker." You know, they want to play that way. Whatevs. But instead, Robbie Kaplan, noting that E. Jean Carroll was barred from serving Trump at the very location from which he released a statement calling her lawsuit frivolous, is now asking a judge to let her serve the documents via email so that they can move forward with the judicial process. Steve in New York says, service in New York State. What the process server could do at this point is tape a copy of the papers to the front door, leave it at the front desk, mail it to the person by regular mail and certified mail. Well, see, they've been trying to leave it at the front desk, Steve, and the Secret Service won't let them. Won't let them tape it to the door. The Secret Service is not the private henchman of the President of the United States. They should not get in the way of this process. And whoever's doing it, like I said, should be fired and, I don't know, hauled in front of the relevant judge in New York on a charge of contempt. And by the way, confirmation today, speaking of legal process, confirmation today that, yes, Nitwit Nero's pettifoggers, according to Bloomberg News, have informed the United States Supreme Court, or rather have informed the D.C. Circuit. No. No, the Southern District of New York, my bad. They've confirmed that they're going to appeal that Second Circuit ruling to the Supreme Court. By the way, Trump lost 3-0 in front of the Second Circuit in his attempt to block the subpoena against Mazars. See, Trump's not even a party to the subpoena. It's not what's served on him. He just thinks that he's God Almighty and can go messing around in anything he wants to. Further information on that. Because his pettifoggers, nitwit Neros, are arguing that according to the Constitution, a president gets absolute immunity from state judicial process while he's in office, including but not limited to a grand jury in New York State investigating his criminality. And so nitwit Nero's pettifoggers had until today to tell U.S. District Judge Victor Marrero whether there would be further proceedings in his court. And so they said, yeah, we're going to the Supreme Court on this. Here's the fun part. That petition for certiorari will be overseen, since she has jurisdiction over the Second Circuit. You know, the circuits are divvied up among the 9 members of the court. And jurisdiction over the Second Circuit petitions for cert is assigned to none other than the notorious RBG. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, which is a delightful irony. She may be able to just shut it down altogether. So that, well, because a whole lot of American jurisprudence will fall to fucking pieces if she doesn't. Although it is entirely within the realm of possibility that something could come out of this gang of credibly accused sexual abusers, supporters of extrajudicial murder, and truck drivers freezing to death in their trucks, and pubes on Coke cans, and liking of beer, and balls and strikes. Something could come out of this akin to, say, Bush v. Gore, which was such a miserable, shitty decision, you'll recall, that not one member of the Supreme Court was willing to sign off as being the head of it. It was a per curiam decision, and this would probably have to be something like that. Steve in New York says, tape it to the front door of Trump Tower and drop it at the front desk after mailing it. That's valid service. I've been through this a million times. Well, if the Secret Service will let, because, again, let me be clear, the Secret Service has prevented the process server from leaving it at the front desk. And the Secret Service has forbidden the process server from taping it to the door. Steve says, I've been through this a million times. I have no doubt. You ever had to deal with the Secret Service on it? Not being a dick, but they're the fly in the ointment here. Oh, and speaking of three-letter nicknames, like, for instance, RBG. Everybody in the country knows that RBG means Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She has become three-letter famous. Just like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has become three-letter famous as AOC. And just as, you know, 60 years ago, John Fitzgerald Kennedy became famous simply as JFK. He was followed by LBJ. Interestingly enough, nobody ever called Nixon RMN or Gerald Ford, Gerald what the fuck, G what the fuck F. James Earl Carter never named JEC. That was too close to Jesus H. Christ. We do now refer to Ronald Wilson Reagan as old 666, but nobody ever called him RWR. I mention all of this because I think Michael Bloomberg deserves to be three-letter famous. And I suggest we use AOB. First there was AOC, now there's AOB. Right. And of course, Steve in New York points out, we can't forget RFK and MLK. I suggest AOB for Michael Bloomberg. Another old billionaire. I think it could stick. If we had just a few more gajillion members of the community, it'd already be viral, and people would be calling, you know, behind his back at places like Bloomberg News. Maybe they already do. They'd be referring to Michael Bloomberg, 77 years old and having no business anywhere near the presidency, as AOB, another old billionaire. Tom Steyer, I guess, could be AOB too. Or AOBB2, another old boomer billionaire. Thank you very kindly to Lady B. Lady B has gotten us to within 10 bucks of meeting Tracy's "I love my family so much I'm putting up with fools" challenge. We're making progress. Thank you again, Lady B. And this time I've got the PayPal app open so I can see it in real time in case the emails get squirrely again. Steve notes another billionaire oligarch. Just a thought, but I like yours better. Yeah, that's oligarch is just too big a word. That's going to confuse folks, certain people. AOB, another old billionaire. But Lordy, they were all just agog this morning on my filthy morning habit, talking about how, well, you know, Michael Bloomberg's a real New York billionaire. He could buy Donald Trump for what he's worth and sell him for what he thinks he's worth and never count the cost. And talking about how he could have the mojo or whatever to push back against the socialist impulses of Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. Yeesh. It's pretty disgusting. And I guess today was the filing deadline in Alabama. I don't know if he got filed or not. Haven't seen. Just a few things along the way. Of course, with every passing revelation about what's going on in this corrupt and criminal outfit, it gets a little worse. And so, Nitwit Nero melted down in public again today. I mean, Jesus, he was weird. Holy crap. And during the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, we'll probably talk a little bit about the Roger Stone trial, because it's getting weirder and weirder and weirder. He now wants to, by the way, thank you to Steve in New York for jumping in on fundraising. we are now finished with Tracy's I Love My Family So Much I'm Putting Up with Fools challenge. That's huge. And so we are onward. We are onward to the next $300 to finish this first week of November's fundraising. Let's see. I bet you we can find the weirdness. Okay, we can start with this because this is funny. You may recall that in the last couple of days, Precious Lindsay has proven that he's so discombobulated, he doesn't even know the name of our ambassador to the European Union, former hotelier Gordon Sondland, who was up to his knuckles, eyebrows, in the Ukrainian shakedown, in the bribery scheme, because I think it's important we use that term since it's in the Constitution, in the bribery scheme to get Volodymyr Zelensky to participate in that political scam against the Bidens. Well, today somebody, a journalist, asked Nitwit Nero about Gordon Sondland, whose name is not Sunderland, as Precious Lindsay alleged. Now, remember, Gordon Sondland was appointed by the President of the United States to be EU ambassador, and he was confirmed by the Senate. Naturally, Nitwit Nero's never heard of him.
Sondland said at the beginning of September he presumed there was a quid pro quo. Then there was a telephone call to you on September the 9th. Had he ever talked to you prior to that telephone call?
Let me just tell you, I hardly know the gentleman, but this is the man who said there was no quid pro quo. And he still says that.
He said that I said that.
And he hasn't changed that testimony. So this is a man that said, as far as the president is concerned, there was no quid pro quo. Everybody that's testified, even the ones that are Trump haters, they've all been fine. They don't have anything.
Yeah, nothing. They don't have anything. Except the fact that Gordon Sondland had to have his recollection refreshed in a desperate attempt to not be charged with perjury. So that, he remembers being the guy who did the quid pro quo. And then there was, of course, the attack on Michael Bloomberg. James just wrote in, "What this race doesn't need, another billionaire, real or imagined. Regardless of stated intentions, they would not be able to see any issue without first thinking, how does this affect the billionaire class? Because they just know that crumbs falling from their table is beneficial to the poors." And I do still think that Elizabeth Warren's response, welcome to the race, Mikey. Here's my billionaire tax calculator. When I'm president, you'll owe $6 billion in taxes to the United States government. You know what? Even if he paid it up in pennies, and a billionaire would do something like that,
here's $6 billion to the, pay for my taxes in pennies.
He would still be worth, north of $45 billion and still get even richer paying that tax rate. That's the real laugher out of it. But meanwhile, Nitwit Nero, being a, a petty hood, couldn't resist taking a swipe at Bloomberg.
We're going to Atlanta. We have a, as you call, black vote, but this is real. We're doing very well with African Americans. I think a big factor is the fact that they're having the best economic year they've ever had in the history of our country. And we're going there. We've been invited, and it's going to be, I think it's going to be fantastic. So I've known Michael Bloomberg for a long time. If you go back early on, he said a lot of great things about Trump. But I know Michael, he became just a nothing. He was really a nothing. He's not going to do well, but I think he's going to hurt Biden, actually. But he doesn't have the magic to do well. Little Michael will fail. He'll spend a lot of money. He's got some really big issues. He's got some personal problems, and he's got a lot of other problems.
This from a guy whose lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, was married to his cousin. He's got some personal problems. Personal problems? I don't recall. I mean, this is no full-throated defense of Michael Bloomberg, but I don't recall Michael Bloomberg ever bragging to Access Hollywood that he could grab women by their genitals. I'm not aware of 23, 24, I don't know, what is it, 26 now, women credibly accusing Michael Bloomberg of having raped them. But, that's just life with Nitwit Nero. And I don't know exactly what's going on. But either somebody's lying to him and telling him his situation is something that it isn't, or he's just delusional. Based upon, if you take it for what it's worth, the anonymous author of a so-called warning, he's just not home. I mean, the terms used in that book are that, where is it? His aides went into full-blown panic because Trump stumbles, slurs, gets confused. Almost sounds like he's not all home. But then again, so does this.
This is like the fake dossier. This is like everything else. These are crooked people. They lost an election, and they lost it big. It was
Yeah, except the fact that he lost by 3 million votes, and I think it's important that we continue to drive that point home.
Really a landslide from the Electoral College standpoint. And they lost it big, and they still haven't recovered, and they're going to lose again. And what they're trying to do is weaken me, but it's actually made me stronger. And interestingly, if you look at the polls that just came out, my polls are up. The fundraising is through the roof.
See, that's the problem. His poll numbers aren't up. He claims he won in a landslide, but he didn't. And then he pivots to that which is burrowing like one of Khan's earworms into his brain.
Never been this high. We just said fundraise because people are angry about it. And it's made Republicans and people that vote for me, not just Republicans, really angry. They really become angry because it's a hoax. And I'll tell you, the whistleblower, I call him the fake whistleblower. He gave a fake report of my phone call. And when I did it, all of a sudden, when I released that call,
which he didn't, I mean, just saying. Top of the document says this is not a transcript.
All of a sudden, everybody disappeared. The whistleblower disappeared. Whatever happened to the second whistleblower? Why isn't the first whistleblower going to testify anymore? You know why? Because everything he wrote in that report almost was a lie. Because he made a phony phone call. My phone call was perfect. He made it sound bad. That's why I had to release. Now, so the whistleblower is a disgrace to our country. A disgrace.
Now, Butthead, Uday, whatever, tweeted out the story from that website that rhymes with light and fart that alleges to divulge the name of the whistleblower. I read it. I'm not going to use the name. But it is a pathetic, shambling piece of faux journalism. And it tries to damn this individual by association. And it doesn't even use a picture of the person they allege to be the whistleblower, but instead uses another person's photograph and says, well, you know, this person knew this person, and that person didn't think that Barack Obama was a Kenyan Muslim usurper. But they're hell-bent on disclosing this individual's name because they want one of the maggots with all the guns to go and kill this person. It is pure stochastic terrorism. But get the hockey puck. We haven't gotten to the really stupid part yet.
Great. And the whistleblower, because of that, should be revealed. And his lawyer, who said the worst things possible 2 years ago, he should be sued. And maybe for treason. Maybe for treason. But
Yeah. That's right. That's right, Clarence Dipshit. He should be sued for treason, because that's the thing that happens, except it's not. You can't sue somebody for treason. You know, the way that, like, Trump gets sued for ripping off charities and winds up paying a $2 million penalty only after his children go to how not to commit charities fraud school. Treason is a crime, not a tort. It's not like a rear-ender car wreck. But Donald Trump is dumber in the head than a hog is in the ass, and that was back when he was sane. Now he's just gone. Out the window. Sued for treason.
He should be sued. His lawyer is a disgrace. A disgrace. And then ask him this. Where is the second whistleblower, right? Where is the witness that gave the whistleblower the information? They all disappeared.
No, they didn't. They didn't disappear at all. Unless by disappeared you mean they've been testifying in front of the Congress. Giving depositions. The stupid. It burns us. And we haven't even gotten to Jim Shorts Jordan. His life just got a lot worse. Steve in New York says, whether he's delusional or just speaking to the maggots to fire him up, it's creepy, not surprising, because nothing surprises me about anything he does. Because delusional or just giving the maggots their marching orders is just creepy. Well, if you understand it within the context of stochastic terrorism, it's not just creepy, it's terrifying, because that is its intent. So here we are. That'll do for a filibobster. And so let's go over to the old holler tree where we keep the extraordinary ordinary round table, the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler elves. and check in with Sparky. And let me remind you, let me make sure this gets hooked up here so that we're in good shape. Make sure the stress line is on as well. And it is. So if you can't make Skype work, if you can't use the link at headon.live, you can always use 844-843-4676. And that'll get you into the conversation via the stress line. Note coming in from Darlene in Connecticut. The conservative rag, The Examiner, released a CIA analyst's name claiming he's the whistleblower and was named in a footnote in Mueller's 448-pager. That's a disgrace. I hope they're wrong, and the person they outed sues the life out of The Examiner et al. Because, what's that old saying in law school? Equity will not permit a wrong without a remedy. Yeah, that. All right, let's go in and check in with Sparky. Hey, Sparky, what's up?
I don't know. You tell me. I was out here smashing leaves, and Steve's hollering at me to connect.
Well, I mean, yeah. I asked. Smashing leaves? Smashing?
Yes, sir.
I mean, how do you smash leaves?
With a smasher, homemade smasher. They're oak leaves.
Okay, so you're kind of like, now that they're nice and dry, you're grinding them up into dust, or?
Well, not really. I'm just trying to get as many leaves as I can into the green waste barrel.
Ah, okay. That makes a little, yeah. I just had this vision of you with a great big potato masher, you know.
No, its main role is a beer can smasher.
Okay, I've seen those.
But it is a homemade. It's about a 4-foot piece of rigid galvanized pipe and an old weight keeper from an old 1950s weight set for lifting weights.
Okay,
you know, to keep the weights on. It's about 3 inches around. Just perfect over the top of a can. And you just one drop and it smashes the can flat.
Well, I'll be darned. I've got one of those can smashers. I mean, you mount it, only it's commercial, you know, you mount it on the wall and you, and yeah.
Yeah, I used to have one of those when I lived in Reading. But now, I mean, I improvise stuff around here because there's so much just old stuff that you can utilize to invent stuff with.
Cool. So, warmish day? I mean, just nice? Or?
It was 80 degrees in here a while ago, but now the sun's starting to go down, so... Grady's on the table behind me. It's down a few degrees. It's about 76 now.
Well, we lit up our first tank of kerosene here today. It's 57 in the studio, which means it's 30 or so outside. We at least got enough. We got enough sunlight today to warm up the studio and make it not unbearable. Well, I want to make a bit of a correction. We'll start going around. Why don't we do a bit of a? We haven't done this in a while, but I want to make sure that people don't get missed out on. Let's do a Mouseketeer roll call of who's in the room, okay, shall we? Obviously, Sparky. Next.
Yeah, yes.
I'm here. I'm here, Bob.
Hey, Brother John Bredevo.
How you doing?
Doing good. And who else do we have?
Roger? If we make it through December.
maybe not.
It's Rick as well. How you all doing?
Hey, Billable.
Hey, Rick.
Yeah, I got to run out and go to the post office to mail a personal item here for my son. I can tell you all more about it later, but
okay.
So I'll be leaving fairly soon here, but I'll be back.
Sounds good.
Hey, guys. Gary from Central Illinois.
Hey, Gary. Welcome aboard. Glad to see you.
Yeah.
Joey from Cleveland.
Hey, Joe.
From West Virginia, Illinois style.
Yeah. From Illinois by way of West Virginia?
Yeah. I mean, I'm in like Trumpistan, Illinois style.
Oh, so are you down in the southern part of the state or?
No, I'm in the east central. Okay, if you know where Kankakee is.
Sure.
I'm about 40 miles south of Kankakee, right along the Indiana border.
Oh, that is Trump. That is right, Trumpy.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, y'all got a little bit of a maggot problem that way.
Oh, tell me about it. I found a group on Facebook of some of our liberal friends, and I did get a shout out for taking the former head judge of our county here and making him scream Trumpy stuff.
Oh, good.
Good. That's always that's yeah. always.
We always love to hear him scream.
And welcome to my world, bro.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Uncle John. How you doing, bro?
Steve, what was Nitwit Nero doing in Atlanta today?
I don't know. I just heard it on the radio that he was coming here, probably looking for a familiar place where he wouldn't get booed.
Yeah.
He's going to the Alabama football game tomorrow, and I think he's in for an unpleasant surprise, I'm hoping.
I'm hoping, too.
Well, I've got a clip here from Mike Pencilneck Geek talking about how all the black folk just love Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And he was making some allusion to something about that was why he was going to Atlanta. Let's see if there's anything to be gleaned out of this.
I know this movement will reach more African Americans than ever before. And come Election Day 2020, I know that we'll reelect President Donald Trump with a historic percentage of African Americans.
Maybe historically low.
For four more years in the White House.
Barf. Oh, barf. Yeah, he's trying to put forth an agenda. Four more years.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was that? Four more years? Four more years?
Yeah. They were going boo earns. Yeah, he's trying to put through an agenda for black America. It's not going to work. And everybody can see right through him. Especially.
Well, we hope so, Steve.
And I don't mean to stereotype, but black women, and Tracy will back me on this, they're sharp as tacks. They'll see you right through this nonsense, man.
It's a shit show, Bob, but it's fixing to get real good.
Yep.
We're going public, baby.
And I have picked a top-notch time to quit smoking.
Oh, Bob. All right,
I mean,
are
this
you
is
really
that this is going to be this is going to be straight out of airplane. You know, I picked a bad day to quit sniffing glue.
Oh man, don't say that, Bob, because my doctor called me.
What did he call you?
Well, he called me a lot of names. One of them was stupid. Quit smoking. That was definitely the message. And so, yeah, it's heavily on my mind. You all know I smoke. And he called me because I had gone got X-rays the other day on my shoulder. And sure enough, shit, he says it's bone on bone, got to do surgery. And, yep, they want to put a new shoulder in there. So after that, I'll be like Superman, be able to do everything, I guess. Shit, that's what they say.
Well, that's because you'll drop, you know, you were born under a red sun, and you'll draw power from our yellow sun.
Yeah, there
Jesus,
you go.
Not that again. We went through that for a couple of hours the other night.
I'm not up for a surgery, but I guess I'm not. I'm faced with either you're going to live with a lot of pain the rest of your freaking life and can't do anything with my right arm, or I'm going to.
Well, I mean, and if you don't get the surgery, your pitching career is over, John.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah, the Astros will kick me out probably.
And your fork ball is down the toilet.
Yeah, it's all down the toilet.
Yeah, and you'll be left with nothing but your knuckler.
Hey, Bob, let me take a moment on your show here to thank Sparky. Buddy, I got the pomegranate
blend.
Yes, I did indeed. Excellent for smoking. I can't wait to do a little smoking with that. Yeah, we'll do some ribs or something.
Ooh, that'd be nice.
People. He's good people. I like to bust his balls, but he's good people, man.
Yeah, you were giving him shit about connecting there a minute ago, Steve. And I thought he was going to reach through the interweb tubes and just tear your throat out.
I affectionately call him Surly from The Simpsons. It's funny. It's an inside joke him and I have. Shut up, Surly. Only Surly can be Surly, Surly. You know?
Oh, and by the way, I got
it. I never watched The Simpsons, so I never got the connection.
I got a note from our buddy O Pipe down San Diego way, who went to meet Scott and Billable Rick and Joe Joey that one evening, and she says, because I mentioned that I've been nose hitting my Penzies seasonings, and she said I've been sniffing herb myself, not Penzies, but it's legal in California anyway.
Hey Tamara, how's it going?
Hey, Bob, I'll have you know I'm broadcasting live from Penzies here in Penn Street in Pittsburgh.
Nice.
Well, I mean,
yeah, actually, I'm right across the street at the McDonald's. The Penzies closes at 5.
Wait, but what is Penzies in Pittsburgh?
That's they've got all this, the store you go in and get all the stuff you put on your food.
Really? They've got seasoning store standalones?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, all over the country. Oh, yeah.
I'll be dipped. I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. Right. Ironically, the Penzies here is on Penn Street, and they closed at 5. I got my wife some stuff, some oregano or whatever, and then I came across McDonald's, and that's where I'm sitting.
And you know what? If you want to make a really kick-ass pot of chili, they sell, and it really is different from what you get in the store, they sell Mexican oregano. And it makes all the difference in the world in the pot of chili. Do you agree, Brother John?
You mentioned that before. Yeah, you mentioned that before, and that's why I grabbed it. I told her. I said, I'm going to get some of that and throw it in the chili.
Yeah, that's good stuff. And I'm totally our buddy Christopher isn't in here this evening. I'm totally stoked to try this Pico Fructis on some fruit. That'll probably happen this weekend. And I've got Penzi's Dutch Process Cocoa. And I think I'm going to go and get a jug of that Fairlife milk and make some, because this looks like a weekend for homemade hot cocoa. You know, because you start with, you mix the cocoa powder and the sugar and just a little bit of water, and you make the slurry with it, and you heat it till the sugar
Tracy
dissolves.
Tracy puts mayonnaise in hers. So.
Oh, shut up. She's going to reach through the internet and get you. But you let the sugar dissolve with the water.
Sauce.
You get a slurry going. You let it come to a really low boil, and then you add your milk, and toward the end, just a little splash of almond extract and a little splash of vanilla extract, and you got the most awe-inspiring cup of hot cocoa you've ever had. And to make it with this Penzies cocoa is going to be astonishing. And you'll notice I didn't say nothing about no booze.
That's implied. Hey, speaking of which, as far as tomorrow, I can't wait to see how that come turns out when the game starts, if they introduce him. But some wise ass, and as far as Trump, I call him, what's his new name now? The Orange Oda Acer. There you go. The Orange Oda Acer. Anyways, they were saying in Washington, well, those people in Washington were just a bunch of, you know how those liberals are. They're all liberals in D.C. Well, the fact is most of the people who go to a Washington Nats game are from the suburbs, and they've got a lot of money in the suburbs. One of the richest suburbs is Fairfax County. I think that's maybe the richest suburb in the country.
Bro, the UFC booed his ass, man. I don't think he's got a safe place.
Yeah, so Joe Rogan even called bullshit on that. Well, you know, some of them were cheering for him. No, they booed his ass.
Yeah. Seems to be a trend nowadays. One that I'm enjoying anyway.
Well, I hope it continues tomorrow.
Hope against hope, if it happens at Bryant-Denny Stadium, he's in bigger trouble than he knows.
Yeah, I don't have, when they say he's going to get booed down there, I hope so. But Alabama, man, you're talking red, deep red.
Yeah, but I'm of the opinion that a lot of the football players who most of the fans adore are not Trump fans.
Well, good. I don't know how they could
be. So let's hope, hopefully that'll have a rebound effect. That's what I'm hoping for.
If I was Nick Saban, I would be incensed. Because this is for both LSU and Alabama, this is the season. Up to this point, this is it. And
it should be a great game too, man.
But it's going to be overshadowed by that jiggling adipose wad of petty jealousies and fear and ignorance. And it's all going to be about, did they boo him or did they not boo him? But when it's bad enough that you have to warn students that you'll take away their tickets if they boo, well now.
Really?
Well, ain't that at that point? Are they
ready
in the stadium?
John, Bob, is that really a thing?
I think that's going to encourage people to do more. Actually.
Yeah, that happens. Yeah.
That's that threat. You tell somebody not to do something at that age, and what are they going to do?
Well, that's what I was talking about the other night. That's the you can't unring a bell thing. Some little dickhead from the Student Government Association sent out an email blast saying any disruptive behavior will get your football tickets taken away from you.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
And then they turned around and said, of course, we weren't trying to suppress anybody's freedom of speech, and we didn't mean you're not supposed to boo Donald Trump, but...
Yeah.
I concur, Rick.
Some of those hardcore LSU Alabama fans, I'd like to see them try to take away their tickets. Yeah. That would be a show of it and in itself,
Yeah, but thing is, Steve,
gunned up people going somewhere.
The threat is enough.
Yeah. You think they're going to be strapped, Rick, in a stadium? I don't know if...
I'm saying if you did take away tickets, they're fanatical enough that they would maybe march somewhere with guns.
I guess I see your point.
But if I was Saban, I'd be pissed. It's like, really? It's not like there's not enough stress associated with this game, and you're going to add more? It's a pity he didn't say, I want the focus to be on this game. He needs to stay away.
Make for a better game. Everybody's up in the stands going to be thinking that shit.
Oh, hey, John, you and Sparky have some experience with Southeast Asia, and particularly Sparky with Thailand. I just adore the lady who runs the little Thai restaurant just a few miles from where I live. I walked in there today because she'd been closed the last several days, and if she's closed for very long, I start to Jones. And her food's pretty healthy.
I can relate to that.
And I stood there, and Agnes has got some sort of upper respiratory thing that's making her feel miserable.
Oh, yeah.
And as I was leaving, she said, if she's got Tom Yum, please bring some back, the soup. The spicy red chili soup with the chicken and the mushrooms.
Clear your sinuses right up.
Yeah, and I said, okay. So I walked in. She didn't have any. I said, my wife was hoping you'd have some Tom Yum. And she said, oh, you want some Tom Yum? I'll make some right now. And she made up a huge pot of Tom Yum soup to send home to Agnes. And I just had a couple of tastes. Oh, mercy. It is heavenly, just heavenly. And what an absolute wonderful person she is.
Really?
And one of the things that I've been contemplating, she's got a nice space. If she's still up and running by mid-spring next year, that's when I'm contemplating the Horn Inn. Well, I think it would be fun if one of the nights we went, or maybe for lunch or whatever, we all went over and had her cooking for a meal. Wouldn't that be a blast?
Yes, outstanding idea, Bob.
Hey, I'll travel.
I'm telling you.
Oh, and one of her little appetizers today. She had that sweet, sticky rice, that sweet, sticky seasoned rice wrapped up in a banana leaf that she'd steamed. Oh, heaven. Did you ever have that stuff over there?
Oh, Lord.
No,
I've ate a lot of stuff over there, Bob. I can't start naming them. Most of them I wouldn't know the name of.
And Sparky, what's the name of the tea again?
Chatham-Yin.
Chatham-Yin?
Yeah.
Chatham-Yin.
If you want milk in it, you'd say Sanam or something like that.
Well, that's what she does. It's like sweetened condensed milk and chai, you know, chai tea, and over ice, and it's just heavenly.
But she doesn't put it in a plastic bag, does she?
No, plastic cup.
In Thailand, you go to a food cart, a roadside food cart, and get some.
In a plastic bag.
They put it in a plastic bag. They have a way of doing it. They put a straw in there, and they tie it up with a rubber band.
Okay.
You just let it hang from your finger. So
it's not a Ziploc or anything. They just spin it and tie it up and put a straw in it.
Yeah, that was way pre-Ziploc, Steve.
Yeah.
With a rubber band, and then you slip it on your finger, and then you can walk, and you can hold with it. And then you just stop and pull it up and drink out of the straw.
Nice. So that's good stuff, huh, Duncan?
Yeah, the stuff we used to get when we go down to Bonchon. It's a little town that was right next to the bungalow area. All my buddies stayed out. I didn't rent a bungalow. I saved money because I was getting out of the Air Force when I got back. I lived on $35 every 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not like the toll-free call-in show
I don't know what Rick's talking about.
No, he's dropping out on me or something. Or he's somewhere else. I don't know.
I think hey, he's Bobby. On a different call. Yeah, Joe.
You familiar with the old Acer? His actual first name is Flavius.
Yeah, you talking about Odoacare?
Is that how they say it?
Yeah. C was never an S sound in Latin.
Yeah, the fifth century emperor.
Yeah, he was actually a heathen, or not a heathen, but a
barbarian.
A barbarian, yeah. Yeah, he's post 476, I think.
Now, how do you say it again?
Odoacare.
Odoacare, okay.
Most Latin words get an emphasis on the penultimate syllable.
Got it.
I'm looking to see if I can find something here. Have you guys seen the Jeff Sessions, the pathetic Jeff Sessions ad?
The one where he reminds Donnie that he ain't said nothing terribly bad, and please, Donnie, let me kiss your ass a little bit more. That one.
Yeah,
that's. I was just getting ready to bring that up and had to talk to a man about a mule. Yeah. Can you believe that?
I got a little bit of it here. Let's check it out.
Jesus.
Bama. It's an attempt to take back.
That's a damn news story.
I can do it for you. Wham, 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 wham. That's about it.
I sure do love me some Donald Trump, and I hope he'll be so generous as to rest his ball sack on my chinny chin chin while I was trying to become the senator again. I'm Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III, and I want to be a senator.
Do they not have any pride? What does Trump have on these people, man, that they would fall on a sword for him?
That's the question I ask. This is the Republican Party. That's not just Jeff Sessions. Trump, this is everybody in the freaking Republican Party are willing to fall on their swords for this shit.
Uncle John, Trump made fun of him and just swore him to pieces.
Hell, he made fun of Ted Cruz and everybody else.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, is it Trump's got something on him, or is it Putin got something on everybody?
Putin's got something on everybody, I think.
Well, remember, that's the thing. Going back, Sessions would have been the easiest get for Mueller. Why he never charged him, I won't know, because Sessions got caught stone cold committing perjury in front of the Senate, and it was Al Franken who busted him on it.
Christ, I feel like we're living in the Twilight Zone, man. Everything is upside down.
Now we're
watching a party that's destroying itself, that's lost every bit of integrity it ever had, trying to set up that Lindsey Graham now, sitting out there in front of God and everybody saying he's not going to read the testimony. My mind is made up, sir. Do not confuse me with the facts.
Oh, Lord, I may get to vapors.
Here it is. Here it is.
The Sessions ad. Good. Glad you found it.
I got to get him paused up there.
Get his attention.
Beyond the pale, man.
It is. It's ridiculous. How stupid do they think constituents are?
Just pride.
Here.
Looking as bad as I possibly could, and basically...
This is the Morning Joe recap of it.
Your nasty little habit.
All I'm going to do is lay down before Donald Trump and just hope and pray that he doesn't stomp on me again. And I mean, this is... It's pretty remarkable. It's a hostage take. He's literally sitting there begging. He was on another network last night, literally begging for Donald Trump not to endorse him, but just not to say mean things about him. This is not the way. But this is the United States Senate. Behind the scenes, Republican senators say this and they say that. Who cares? They get in front of the camera and they do this.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that didn't work out either. Why can't I find this online?
Stand by, Bob.
He talks all about, I write a book and all that shit. He wants glory because he didn't say anything.
Remember that Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III was the author of the kidnap children and put them in cages policy.
Yeah, let's don't forget his whole agenda. He's a big holy roller who, kids and changes is just Jesus' way of saying, we just want to keep an eye on you. You're some bullshit. It's disgusting to even see him come back out and have to grovel like that. Like Steve says, what kind of dignity they got left? Nothing. They don't have anything left. Every one of them. There's not a single sitting senator or congressman now, say Mitt Romney and maybe one other that's mumbling somewhere in the dark. Every one of them have made ignorant fools out of themselves, because we're not talking to
Kennedy?
Lieutenant Colonel Vindman said today, it's not, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see what's going on here. That's what his testimony is before the Congress. Tell him you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this shit out.
So did you guys see Kennedy from Louisiana sitting there saying that, Trump's economy is three times better than Obama. Yeah. Well, if you go by GDP, that means our GDP is at 12% then, because Obama had several GDPs four or over. Right now, actually, GDP is below two. So much for all this.
Yeah,
it's great.
1.9 or something. He was talking about GDP growing to 3 or 4. Ain't nothing that man has said.
Which is right back where Obama had it.
Except for the big tax giveaway, that's his claim to fame. That's how come he got the Republicans on his side, is because he gave them money. He paid them off. I didn't get none of that money. Future's not looking any grander than it was like 6 years ago. Things are about the same for me. Now, the only people making money I see are people invested in Wall Street, which a lot of retirement funds and stuff, but there's a lot of people, but I don't think those are the people going to be the ones that get hurt when it falls.
No, they just put out, I forget who it was recently, just put out a stat where it shows most people, 2/3 of the country, feels they've either not gained any ground or they've lost ground in this administration.
Yeah, nothing's changed for the majority. The only people that benefited from his tax cuts and stuff, and the rules and regulations that he has cut for business, which makes more money for the company and all that bullshit, that's not us. We're on the losing end of this deal. And I think a lot of that is going to come to fruition here, that people are going to wake up and see this shit. He's being pushed up against the wall. We have a crime family in Mick Mulvaney, Rudy Giuliani, and evidently Sondland, who is trying to pull his ass out of a crack. You know, everybody that's going up there is just plainly saying, yep, look here, this is what he did. You know, and at some point, and I'm still holding on to it, when we get this trial in the Senate, if it gets as bad as I think it's going to be, you're going to force those senators up there to defend the indefendable. You can't do it. There's going to be so much shit stacked up. And we're not even getting into the financial crimes where money is going to be involved. And we're going to get into that with load 11.
Well, here's the thing, John. I just think if the shit starts hitting the fan, McConnell's just going to, you know, it's just going to stop the whole thing.
Well, he'll be hard pressed to do that, to just outright stop it. They can put a motion on the floor to dismiss.
That's what they'll do.
Clinton filed such a motion. It was denied. But
yeah,
McConnell said he had to follow the Senate rules on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the problem is McConnell gets to make up the rules as he goes along.
Exactly.
And the Senate rules include filing motions to dismiss.
What does that mean? Right.
I think if they try to pull bullshit and throw it out the window, I think the public, is going to go a little wacko over that shit.
Now, we haven't even
I agree with you, John, but the question is, will people call bullshit in states that matter? Will they call bullshit in your beloved Texas? Will they call bullshit in Alabama? Will they call bullshit in Georgia and Tennessee?
Oh, they won't in Georgia. You can count them.
Well, there's some red states that we're never that we assume we're never going to turn. Don't ever say that. We came close this time. We took Virginia this time.
Yeah, that was
Kentucky looks good. We'll have another blue wave. I hope that's what we're trying to generate. That's what I do with my pom poms. I just finished a live show when I came right onto your show, Bob. I did a live show today because.
Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Tud has entered the race, that puts him against a former football coach from Auburn, who none of the University of Alabama Republicans will vote for. I mean, really, it's like that down there.
Yeah,
just please
it's
believe
pretty
me.
Serious shit.
And also Roy Tolamore, who will draw something like 72%. Of evangelical white men and 61% of evangelical white women. So it's going to be hell among the yearlings. And then the Alabama Attorney General's running too. So thank you very kindly, Steve from Georgia Stan, for providing me the link. I just wanted us to hear how pathetic Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Tud sounds in this. Yes. I mean, this is shameful.
This is pure groveling.
Jeff Sessions here. I approved this ad when I left President Trump's cabinet. Did I write a tell-all book? No. Did I go on CNN and attack the president? Nope. Have I said a cross word about our president? Not one time. And I'll tell you why. First, that would be dishonorable. I was there to serve his agenda.
That would be dishonorable. The idea that there's any honor at all to Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Tud, who put little children in fucking cages.
I think you need to change that Beauregard to bullshit. I think it was blow right in there.
Oh, God almighty.
Not mine. Second, the president's doing a great job for America and Alabama, and he has my strong support.
Let me kiss your ass some more. I didn't do it enough before, so let me give me another opportunity. It's the same shit Ted Cruz did down here in Texas.
My God, does Trump have pictures of him doing
and
chickens
Ted Cruz
or something?
Got reelected.
Jesus Christ.
So the possibility of that asshole getting back in is a distinct possibility, because now Donnie knows he has his under his. He's already begging. He's already groveling. What better out to have? Get his ass in the Senate and over there. It's another sure thing vote. He's just another Lindsey Graham. Ready to lick deep and wide, baby.
Hey, John, I got a question for I got a Texas question for you.
Oh, shit.
Well, no. Jim brought this to my attention. And, you know, y'all got a busy little death row down there in Huntsville. Or no, Huntsville. Yeah, it's Huntsville in Texas, isn't it?
Huntsville.
Yeah, because it's Huntsville in Alabama.
Yeah.
Alabamians are so tired they can't hardly finish their words.
Has anybody seen Carla Faye Tucker lately?
Well, hold on. There is a man named Rodney Reed.
Yeah.
Who is due? Well, the state of Texas wants to kill him real bad.
Mm-hmm.
Are you up on that story?
I'm not totally. I know he's claiming he's innocent of it now. But no, I'm not up on that story here. I've been digging into national shit.
Well, there's a change.org petition out there that's gotten over 100,000 signatures on it.
Right.
I think some
stars or some move Hollywood types are getting in on that too.
Well, they got some coverage. They got some coverage from Newsweek, and I'm gonna say this, and I mean no disrespect by it or anything. I don't put a lot of stock in online petitions because most of the time they're marketing efforts, so that they can send you other stuff. And it's just data harvesting.
Mm-hmm.
But in the case of Rodney Reed, he's 3 weeks away as of the publication of this Newsweek article. He's 3 weeks away as of November 4th from being horizontally crucified by the state of Texas. And the outcry is for a new trial with new evidence, because apparently there is new evidence. There's been a rally with 100 people or so in Austin outside the Capitol last Saturday. One individual, Roderick Reed, his brother, said, "There's so much evidence out there, there's so much doubt out there, and it just blows my mind that they can sit back and let us sit in this state of uncertainty. That's torture." Well, it's also Texas, isn't it, John?
We don't give a shit down here when it comes to death penalty. Hell,
especially if it's black folks.
Oh, yeah. And especially if there's more than one people that are witness to it, hell, we'll put you in express lane. Texas has always been a kill you state. And it's hard to get a pardon or a commute that sentence. You know, you're going to have to go hard. Because they'll fight it all the way. They're already saying that this new evidence, you know, because I believe Rodney is claiming that he had consensual sex.
Well, yeah, he was convicted of rape and murder of a woman named Stacy Stiles.
Right.
In Bishop, Texas. Where's Bishop, John? Any idea?
Bishop is up northwest of San Antonio toward College Station over there, I believe.
Okay. He's been on death row for 21 years.
Yes, he's been there a long time.
And he's slated to be executed on the 20th of November. And the Innocence Project, you know, which is run out of a law school, says that Texas is on the verge of executing an innocent man. I think if it was me sort of editing that draft, I'd say on the verge of executing another innocent man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like we haven't done that before. You know,
the thing is, it looks like a real frame job, because the guy who very well may have done it is a cat named Jimmy Fennell or Fennell.
Didn't he say something while he was in prison about it?
Well, see, the thing is,
I'm trying to rack my memory about this case.
He's one of those Blue Lives Matters types, because he was a cop and was originally the prime suspect.
No DNA?
Yes, I think they do, but I think that's where it comes in, where he's saying he had consensual sex with this woman prior to this event.
A member of the Aryan Brotherhood, who's a prison mate of Fennell, says that the officer admitted killing her. And that goes back to 2010.
Yeah, so that's part of why they want to retry the case.
But a question to the roundtable and the Horn family: why would Sessions belly crawl to such a degree? I can't wrap my head around that. If somebody insulted me the way
because his entire legacy has been trashed. You got to understand what motivates Jefferson Davis, Beauregard, Sessions the
third. That's what I said.
Yeah,
today.
But he's trashing himself even worse.
Steve,
his legacy is going to be the guy that got fired. His ass out.
And Trump has also painted him as the guy who caused the whole Mueller problem by recusing himself.
Yeah, it's all Jefferson Davis.
Because when it was all blowing up, all that Jefferson Davis, Beauregard, Sessions the third could think was, I don't want to spend the rest of my life in the prison system. I done played the footsie with the Russian diplomats and oligarchs, perjured myself in front of the Senate. I better get out of this here thing. And then proceeded to get blamed for everything by Nitwit Nero, so that the maggots down in Alabama are inclined to love Nitwit Nero more than they love Jefferson Davis, Beauregard, Sessions the third, who, you'll recall, spent his entire senatorial career and career as attorney general working out his vendetta for the fact that the Senate of the United States declined to confirm him as a federal judge in the 1980s, because it came out via a letter from folks like a letter from Coretta Scott King and testimony from people who had worked with him that he was a stone cold racist, including statements like, I thought the Klan was some pretty good guys till I found out they smoked the marijuanas.
Oh, he's big on that. Yeah. You smoke marijuana, you're a devil worshiper.
When he was in the U.S. Attorney's office in the Southern District of Alabama, he told one of his colleagues, an African American lawyer, he said, "Now you got to be careful how you talk around the white women's, boy."
Oh shit! That's Jeff Sessions, though.
But to come back to Mr. Reed, Rodney Reed, they've got a confession through this neo-Nazi who said that that the white cop said that Fennell spoke with a lot of hatred and resentment for her because she was having an affair with Rodney Reed, and eventually said to the Aryan brother, "I had to kill my N-word loving fiance."
Well, there you
go. In Texas, I don't know, a white woman having sex with a black man, would that get a white woman killed?
In places, yeah. Yeah.
And then former Bastrop Sheriff's Officer Charles Wayne Fletcher, said that Fennell told him that his fiance was fucking it, that word. And so they probably are getting ready to horizontally crucify.
Pretty quick.
And remember, it winds up in the hands of a Supreme Court justice who said it's okay for cops to shoot fleeing young black men in the back of the head 35 feet away. It's in the hands of a guy who despises every other African-American man because, well, he knows he hasn't any business on the Supreme Court, and he also knows he knows what he did to Anita Hill. It falls to the hands of Brett Kavanaugh.
Ooh, I want a beer.
Who likes beer and raping passed-out girls. It falls into the hands of Ann's boy Neil Gorsuch, who far preferred that an African-American truck driver freeze to goddamn death. And, of course, old Balls and Strikes John Roberts, who declared that there is no such thing as racism in America anymore.
So they're going to fry him.
Yes, they probably will.
Yeah. You know, but there's going to be people fighting, so there's a chance, you know, because the evidence, you know, his declaration that he was having an affair in the asshole cockroach that's talking to the cop kind of corroborates that statement, you know. But they're going to argue that it's years later and they're making it up, you know.
Or that the Aryan
Texas
brother
is a hard
was
state. It's not going to come from this state. The governor's not going to commute him.
No, nope.
It's got to come from Washington. It's got to come from the Supreme Court, because Abbott's not going to do that. Goes against his grain.
No, I mean
he's got a body count. Go on, baby. He's
yeah, Abbott's got
up.
A body count and a front row seat. He enjoys yeah. these things.
I believe he does. I swear. You know.
Yeah,
what can I say?
Have,
I'm talking about a dark side of my state I really don't like.
You know,
it's here. Is there racism in this state? You bet your ass it's all over the place. But are there good people in the state working against it? Yes, there are people that's fighting for
Rodney. Oh, no doubt. There's probably more committed liberals in Texas than there are in several small blue states combined.
Well, we got to be dedicated, because look what we're up against. And it's everywhere in this state. You know, awesome, it's the baby. whole persona of Texas. You know, they want to make it gun-toting, you know, shoot them up, bang-bang shit all the time. This state is very diverse, and we're turning bluer and bluer all the time. We damn near came close last time, and I don't know if we're going to make it this time, but I'm sure hoping. But as Virginia could show us, there is a change coming. There's a change coming, and it's because of Donnie. Because they all followed the Pied Piper right off the freaking cliff. They declared him the king, the glorious leader, all that shit.
Well, but and it's also demographic, because, you know, Virginia's a fairly big state, not Texas big, of course, but a large state
with a
shit ton of rural counties.
Yes.
And for the last 25 years or more, those rural counties have been able to lord it over the more populous suburban Virginia counties. Well, this past Tuesday proved that day is over.
That's right.
And the same thing is happening demographically in Texas. Suburban folks do not have the same value set or agenda as, you know, Cletus out there 50 miles from the county seat.
You know,
hey, John, Wait a minute.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
Cletus.
Yes, Cletus. I mean, not your Cletus, but
the Cletus
Collective. Yeah, go ahead, Gary.
I just moved back from Wiley, Texas, which is a suburb of Dallas.
Right.
We flipped our district blue, got rid of Pete Sessions.
And that's difficult to do up around Dallas. Dallas is a very strong red area up in there. That's one of the few populations.
Yeah, the suburbs are really red. My next door neighbor kept telling me that I'd say, well, you know, you're leaning toward the Nazi. He said, why? Well, he told me, I'd rather be a Nazi than a communist.
Hey, John, Tarrant County, baby, went for Beto.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. This state, it came so close this time. And you're right about the rural areas. It still dominates a lot of Texas politics. But as more immigrants come in from, you know, Wisconsin or California, wherever they're coming in from, we welcome them, and they're more, you know, diverse communities in this state, and it can't do anything but turn bluer and bluer, you know, because we're not a state of gun-toting idiots. There's
in the Plano Wiley area, they opened State Farm opened up a new office and moved a whole bunch of people from California in. So
right, yeah. And we have major expansion going on here. China's building a new steel factory over here. Of course, Saudi Arabia is building a humendous oil refinery down here. It's going to be so big, we're actually getting a brand new harbor bridge, because the harbor bridge we have now ain't tall enough to let some of them big ships in. So they're going to tear it down and build us a new bridge. It's halfway through construction right now. So there is a lot of expansion and job growth here in this area.
Is Trump building a hotel there too?
No, not yet. Not in our area. That's my problem here. I say I'm in Corpus Christi. That's a very blue city, as is Houston and San Antonio and whatnot. But I live on the outside, outskirts of Corpus Christi. I'm out in the rural area, And
Wait a minute, John. You the atheist or from the place called the Body of Christ?
That's me, baby. That's me. And we're fixing to stick a cross up where you can see it from San Antonio, I bet. Yeah, we have a huge
space huge, from space
huge cross. That is going to be planted out here on the highway to declare, Corpus Christi, the Body of Christ. That's us, baby. And it's just pissing me off. Just don't
drive through Effingham.
That's
Illinois.
Another thing I'm known for.
I saw that. Hey, Gary.
I'm an atheist. Yeah. Oh, shit.
Hey, Gary, I've seen that. You drive on Route 70 there, Route 57 and 70. Big old white cross.
It's the largest cross in the world there in Effingham.
Yeah, well, we're fixing to maybe beat it, I think. This thing is supposed to be huge. They already poured the foundation for it, and it's been drying for over a year. I mean, it's a massive concrete area out there. They're going to put a little church next to it. It's going to be lit up where you'll be able to see it from Jesus. I don't know wherever Jesus says you'll be able to see it. Yeah. And it is. It's, but it's on private property, so you can't do anything about it. You know, they followed all the regulations, got all the permits and all that shit, the airspace, everything, because they're talking about this thing being huge. You know, so we're all waiting to see it get shipped in here on trucks. And
Uncle John, what's his dimensions? Any idea? I mean,
no, I did at one time, and it was written around here somewhere on a piece of paper.
I could probably Google it, but it's got to be massive.
Oh, it's going to be massive. It is. I think they're touting is it's going to be the biggest one in the world. You know, the tallest. And so, yeah, I'm thrilled to death in my situation. I just think it's over the top, you know, really.
Yeah, and God,
it's not enough. We got your ass on our money.
Yeah. Oh, I remember the big styrofoam-looking butter-looking Jesus. It burned really fast. I forget where it was, maybe out in Indiana or, you know, somewhere in the heartland. But it wasn't. It was kind of terrifying in its unburnt form. But
was it butter or ghee? Do you remember?
Well, it looked. I mean, you know, it looked like the butter Jesus from the Iowa State Fair. But it was made of styrofoam that was painted a sort of French vanilla ice cream color.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Hey, I need to interrupt just for a minute because things are what they are. We're coming into the third hour of the program. And we got $300 in fundraising to go. And with me being gone next week for two nights, we're going to have a deficit out of that anyway. We need to knock, if it's at all humanly possible, we need to knock down this other $300 and send us into next week doing okay. Because, you know.
Yeah, I say it every time I come on here, Bob, because I do. Both you and I understand what that it means. And your listeners, your Horn family, I think they value you, in the comments. You're a wise man, Bob. I've told you that before. I've sucked up to you enough. I don't have to do that anymore. You are. You're a smart guy. You provide entertainment, and it takes a lot to keep this show on the air. The electric bill, the internet bill, all sorts of shit that you don't even know about. Plus, keeping by this is his job. You know, it is an all day job. So your donations, no matter how small they are, they count towards paying the bills, baby.
Yeah, there's $1,000 coming due by the middle of next week.
Yeah, where you got that, Bob? You know, pull it out your butt.
I thought I'd just go down into the basement now that it's temporarily dried out and just run off a few sheets of hundreds.
Well,
every little bit helps.
It's important to understand.
$10.
How much work goes into this? This is a job. You know, it's an everyday dig into the news, find out what's going on, get your head together. All the little, you know, and with Bob's expansive memory, that this kind of outreach doesn't happen anywhere else. We, you know, Bob comes from rural America. So do I, baby. That's who's talking to you out here. You know, the people that they say is all red counties and it's red all over the place. Baby, we're working every day to turn these places blue. And it's Bob's voice that keeps that happening. And so it's imperative that those that support him and listen to his show step up and make that kind of a donation. Because without it, Bob's voice goes away. And we can't have that happen. We can't have the progressive voices that we need in this country fade away just because, you know, there's not some rich donor delving out bucks to keep him on the air. This is by your will that it is.
Are you having two-day blood work, Bob? Did I understand you correctly? Or
well, no. This coming Wednesday is cheap blood work Wednesday, so that means that I can get my I can get my CBC, get my my A1C, my MIC, my KEY, my MOUSE, all of that. No, I can get it all done for the low Kmart price of $150.
That's $150. I bet you ain't got your wallet right now.
Nah, it ain't there.
Yeah, see, I know what you're working on, Bob, because I'm the same way. It's a scratch every day.
Right, because I, well, yesterday I had to cough up for a flu shot and an office visit.
There you go.
And next Thursday and Friday, are we having a sleep test done? Or
No. No, I just, I have to, I've got something that
some
demands
personal
my,
business you
got
to take care of.
Got something that demands my time.
I understand. Yeah. You don't need to say anymore. I was just curious.
No, it's not a sleep test, but I'm starting my new blood pressure medicine this evening. Agnes and I talked about it. I'm going to go on and take my regular handful of meds in the morning, but I'm going to take this new blood pressure pill at night before bed. And see how that works out, because I don't
know. You know, they say most heart attacks and shit happen at night while you're asleep. Believe it or not, when you're rested. A lot of
thanks, John.
A lot of, no shit. I can scare the hell out of everybody.
Well, I'll see your scary and raise you one.
I don't want to scare. I'm getting a shoulder replaced, Bob. They're going to rip me
apparently,
open.
Apparently, there is a scientific reason for stopping all of this time change bullshit.
Yeah. Yep. It pisses me off.
Because the older I get, I find that it fucks with me more.
It does.
Well, it gives you jet lag.
But there's a scientific reason for it, because they found out that in the spring half of, you know, spring forward and fall back, in the spring forward part of it, heart attacks nationally go up by a statistically significant percentage in the week following the time change.
I have heard that, yes.
Oh, yeah, it's true. What are we doing to ourselves? I mean,
they're trying to kill us, Bob.
It's big corporations that started this time change. You know, they said it was for the farmers. Then they said it was for the children.
The school children.
They could eat more candy, you know, during Halloween. You know,
now it's for Trump.
It's the same people who put fluoride in our water, people. That's
and again, I go back to that that meme, I guess. Of course, it was being passed around before it was a meme. But it's attributed to some Native American somewhere who said only a white man would think that you can cut the bottom off of a blanket and sew it to the top of a blanket and have more blanket.
Yep. I remember that. I've heard that before. That's good. And
farmers don't care. They go by the sun. You know,
they go by the sun. What difference does it make?
Yeah, it doesn't matter to them. Leave the time alone. Stop tinkering.
Well,
with
the question is,
the cows actually get messed up as well with the milking.
How did human beings get along before this nonsense came along? Just pick to it.
We all just fell over and you know, at a certain point, we just, boom, that's it. You know, we got up the next day and did some more.
You know, I guess the longest day of the year, the summer solstice here in West Virginia. And, of course, it's daylight savings time by then. In daylight savings time, in West Virginia, at the height of summer, the longest day of the year, there will be some light-ish in the sky at 9:30 p.m. And the further north you go, the nearer 10 and after 10 that you get. I was amazed being in, like, Minneapolis years and years ago in the middle of summer. And damn, there's still a little bit of light in the sky at 10 o'clock. But if we just left it on standard time and we did not spring forward and cause heart attacks next spring, if we just left it where it was, then here in West Virginia on the summer solstice, there'd still be light in the sky at 8:30 instead of 9:30.
Which would be fine.
Yeah, right. And really, I mean, who needs daylight at 9 p.m.?
Drunks.
It's awfully hard for kids to fall asleep in the summer because of the time.
Grown-ups too.
Yeah.
And toward that end, I've got a little funny for us. And by the way, an anonymous member of our community has said, I propose an anonymous glyphosate Monsanto lawyer Slappy Thomas $100 challenge. So there's an offer to double your money for the next $100 in the next hour if folks will respond.
The That's 5 or 5 at 20.
Yep,
y'all 20. Can do that. Yeah. Easy.
It's amazing how Eskimos ever got to bed.
Yeah, well, that's why the igloos are so damn thick. You can't get the midnight sun through it.
Oh, come on. The igloos are only made in the winter. They're not in the summer. The summer is they don't sleep in igloos in the summer.
Well, I mean, not now they don't. There's no ice up there anymore.
Well, that's in the winter. There's no ice now because of global warming. This whole bullshit over daylight savings time is a meme that's been fed and is absolute total bullshit. Come on, people get on a goddamn airplane and fly from the West Coast to the East Coast, which is a 3-hour time difference, and the very next day they're able to put in their time at the office or whatever, or going from the East Coast to the West Coast. When I fly down to Peru, it takes me less than a day to cover the 3 hours. Now, I do agree.
Wait, Roger, don't give
a motherfuck about the goddamn time change.
Hold on, what's the time zone in Peru?
New York City.
Really? It's Easter? Oh, I didn't realize. Okay.
Yeah, because parts of Brazil are 2 hours ahead of the Eastern time zone.
Yeah, they're out in that Atlantic time zone.
Lima, Peru and New York City and Miami, Florida are in the same time zone.
Son of a gun.
And when I go from California down to Lima, Peru, which I'm going to be doing this Christmas, got to scatter my father-in-law's ashes. But anyhow, when I go down to Peru, it'll be a 3-hour time shift. But a 3-hour time shift is no biggie. Fuck, what? I had more trouble coming from Guam back to California when I arrived at Travis Air Force Base 3 hours before I left Guam on the same fucking day.
I've made that trip. I have. Many times, as a matter of fact. From Guam back to San Francisco.
Yeah, well, San Francisco, David, Travis Air Force Base, same time zone.
Yep.
But the fact is, when you leave Guam at, let's say, 11 o'clock in the morning on December 20th, which is about when I left, I arrived at Travis Air Force Base at 8 o'clock in the morning on December 20th.
Guam, where America sees the first light of day.
Oh, yeah, where America's day begins. Half a day.
Yeah, half a day.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah. Screw it.
They just changed that.
I just need them to change the damn time. Either way.
Where it can rain every night at the same time.
Well, you could always tell the newcomers on Guam, because when it started raining, they'd run to get under shelter. People had been around there for a while.
Shower time.
if you ran, you overheated your body, and it took you twice as long to dry out than it did if you just kept walking.
I usually sat under a tree if it rained.
That's a good thing to do, too.
Yeah, I don't run nowhere.
And trap coconut crabs.
Well, coconut crabs are good to eat. We went through that the other day.
Well, the Air Force sent me up to Upper Michigan for 3 years, so that was a little bit cold.
That's cold enough.
Yeah. I mean, 40 below zero with a 40-mile-an-hour wind.
No.
Yeah. Ain't going to see that on Guam.
I tell people all the time, I'm a sand and sea kind of guy.
No, it was Kinchlow Air Force Base.
Oh, Kinchlow.
Yeah, they closed it down, made it into a prison. It was so far out in the woods that there's no bars around or anything. In the wintertime, if you try to escape, you probably wouldn't walk out of it.
A military base with no bars around?
Yeah. I mean, this is a prison.
Oh, shit.
They put gates up around the nuclear warhead storage area, but yeah. And they had the gates there and everything. But when they turned the prison up, they didn't have to do much because of the fact that it was 17 miles from anywhere. And you try to walk through 17 miles of woods. In the summertime, you get eaten by bears. In the wintertime, you freeze to death.
Well, I laugh, but I was stationed up in Adak, Alaska. Yeah. There is nothing. There's nothing there. It's called the birthplace of the wind. It's cold. It's freezing. There are no bars. There's nothing there but military. Yeah. And that's it. It sucks. They got one tree. There's a fence around it. It's called the Adak National Forest.
Well, at least St. Marie had some bars, but... Yeah, watch out for the guys coming down from Canada to get supplies, because them guys come down once every 6 months to get supplies. They were people you do want to mess with.
You know where I went when I left Adak, Alaska, which is way out on the Aleutian chain?
The liquor store, I hope.
No, I went straight to Guam. That's where I got off the plane. Yep, went to Guam. I went from freezing-ass clothes to, holy shit, this is hot.
I traded 1 year in Attu, Alaska, for 19 and a half months on Guam.
Yeah, you're farther out than Adak was.
Yeah, Attu is tip.
Yeah, that's out there where the Air Force had the base out there where they kept the...
You can see Russia from there, can't you, Roger?
Oh, damn near.
I don't know. I never got there.
There were some World War II battles over Attu Island.
Oh, yeah.
It was the only battle on American soil. I guess it was American soil at that time.
Sparky's dad was up there. Yeah,
my dad was on Adak.
Yeah, there were gun emplacements on Adak. Some of the old Quonset huts were still there when I was up there.
John,
serious fighting.
Sorry for the guys who come down from Thule, Greenland, into Kinchlo. You know, it didn't warm up much, but it warmed up a little bit. You know?
Yeah. It's like, well, the only place we went was Kodiak into Anchorage. And have it be at the time that I was flying from Adak going into Kodiak just to pick up supplies or whatever, you know, extra beer or something. My wife, who I had not met yet, was working there. So I must have walked past her and flirted with her or something then, but didn't meet her until we was back down here in the States. But yeah.
I got to interrupt for just a minute. I got a little bit of good news.
All right. We like good news, Bob.
Thanks to Earther for jumping in.
Outstanding.
And then Darlene jumped in. Darlene in Connecticut. Darlene? Also a founding member of the Sorority of Leans and a founding member of Queen Tracy's Reverse Oreo Society. And Darlene said, I'll meet the $100 anonymous challenge in honor of Roger, who often starts a sentence with, that's bullshit, and who has given me a new appreciation of coconut crabs and Guam. So thank you. Thank you, Darlene. And a cowbell into the bargain.
And outstanding, Darlene.
And that's for Roger and Darlene. So taken all together, we got $95 to go to finish the week.
My first cowbell.
Yeah. Was that your first cowbell, Roger?
Yep.
I still got a half to go. Eight o'clock bullshit on the time change.
Yeah, that came at 8:12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It goes by longitude, right?
On this date in horn history, Roger.
I don't know. It's all about the cat.
No, it's not.
Do you guys know that Arizona never changes their clock?
Well, and there's a part of Indiana that doesn't too.
Yeah, near Gary, Gary, Indiana.
Yeah. And by the way, talking about time zones and everything, I remember when we were on the Libboat cruise, and we had passed, we were passing out of the Eastern time zone and into the Atlantic time zone, and we were also doing so in the Bermuda Triangle. And we woke up. The wind was howling, and the door to our stateroom had blown open onto the veranda, and the wind was howling into the room. And by habit, we both looked at our clocks there in the Bermuda time zone, and we were in a land without time. And from that day to this, when things get a little bit weird and sideways, Agnes will look at me and say, you know, Bob, we got to get back on that boat, and the very same boat on the very same run, because something happened out there, and nothing's been right since we got back. We got to get on the boat again so that we can get back into our right reality.
But if you had a smartphone, wouldn't it adjust for it, or would it just drive the phone nuts?
Well, I think it just drove the phone nuts because there were no towers for it to talk to.
Oh, nothing to ping. Oh, wow. Yeah, you need to pay a visit back there, Bob, and put the universe back on its axis, man.
And just got a note from Jim saying ADAC Alaska was offered a job there. No thanks.
Yeah, you smart man there. Smart person right there. Hey, ADAC, where is that? No, you don't.
Bob, you'll come back and Hillary will be president and we'll have air-powered cars. It'll be a beautiful thing, man, you know.
Hey, guys, if a phone pings in the middle of the forest, does anybody hear it?
Yeah. The CIA hears it.
There you go.
Speaking of pings, is anybody else getting like three pings and then 30 seconds and three pings?
On the phone, yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Shit, I got guys in the middle of the night coming out here to work on a telephone post, right? And dig a hole out here in my freaking yard.
I'm talking about right now on this call.
Oh, on this call.
No.
In this group.
No, not me.
On the Skype, you mean, Roger?
Yeah, on the Skype. I'm getting ping, ping, ping. That's why I dropped out earlier and came back, and now all of a sudden I'm getting this ping, ping, ping.
It's catching up with messages you missed while you were gone.
I heard something that sounded like a low powered razor for a while when Sparky went inside his house.
Oh, yeah, he blamed Surly. It wasn't Surly.
Anyhow, I'll just live with it. Anyhow, in Bermuda, did you know that in Bermuda, most of the houses that are down there have cisterns to collect rainwater underneath their houses to provide them with fresh water? And they have actually bred and developed some fish that are actually blind that live in the cisterns and keep the water fresh so the house has fresh water to drink during the dry spells.
Fish, what do the fish do to relieve themselves, Roger?
Shit in the water, but it sinks.
Harmless shit. Bottom.
Okay,
that shit don't mean nothing, man.
And then there was a really fantastic restaurant. And I can't remember the name of the town.
Hey, I hate to say this, guys. I'm like W.C. Fields. I don't drink anything fish fuck in. Yeah.
It's not about the shit, Sparky or Steve, right?
Non de pes.
But then there was a fantastic restaurant called Gunpowder Caverns. And it was where the American revolutionaries managed to get the French to store munitions to be used in the Civil War. And they had this beautiful restaurant. You walked through the cave and got back into the restaurant, and they served really good food. Anyhow, that's back in about 1965.
You mentioned Bermuda, Roger. Here's an interesting thing. We've got a Bermuda listener. We've got a member of the Horn Family Community Congregation in Bermuda. And that person appears not to be a VPN, so they're actually out there, you know, in Bermuda. Hello, member of the Horn Family Community Congregation in Bermuda.
Well, beautiful island. It has the world's smallest drawbridge, and it's a bridge that's over a canal that has about a 6-inch wide plank that you have to physically get up and pull it out. And then people walk the mast of the sailing ship through the bridge and then put the plank back down.
That sounds charming.
Oh, yeah. Great place. Loved it. Another one of my government-sponsored 30-day vacations.
Whose leg do you got to hump to get a cowbell around here?
Bob's. Consider my leg humped. No, that's kind of gross.
Hey, it's Family Guy. Blame Seth MacFarlane.
Maybe little Cletus, but nobody else.
So, Brother Rick, how you been, man? What's on the show agenda? Anything cool?
My last concert was The Who. and haven't gone to any for a while here.
That was their farewell. We're really out of here this time tour, right?
Well, it's called moving out or something. I don't know what they.
Because I've seen their farewell.
Oh, I thought it was the Keith Moon is Still Dead tour.
Yeah,
that was 25 years ago, I think, Bob. That's the one you. No, yeah. I don't know.
They had a farewell tour in 83. Seriously, I went to it.
But who did?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Darlene just awarded a cowbell to Sparky. Darlene said, did Sparky just say fish shit don't mean nothing? That deserves a cowbell. I love you guys.
That was me.
Oh, that was you, Steve. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you got your cowbell twice.
Yeah, I had to ask for the damn thing, though.
Well, you got to take one away then, because
right, you're down. You've got a circle of cowbell now. Oh, and by the way, found out a little follow up on the big cross that was the subject of discussion a few minutes ago. Ron in Raleigh tells us the cross will be 230 feet tall, the second largest in the world and the largest in the Western Hemisphere. The largest is a 492-foot cross in the Valle dos Caídos, Valley of the Fallen, near Madrid, Spain. It's a huge monastery complex and cathedral complex that was built at the insistence of fascist Generalissimo Francisco Franco, who, by the way, is, come on, somebody, still dead.
Still dead. Chevy Chase would say that line.
It's a fascist monument, and the cross there looks like it can also be interpreted as a giant sword stuck into the mountain. And, I got a thank you to send out to Gary. Gary just took us down to only $80 to go to finish the week with about 39 minutes to go in the program. So, thank you. Thank you, Gary. 4 at 20, 20 at 4, 1 at 80, 2 at 40, et cetera. Yeah.
That's not far to go. That's not far to go. The Horn family could step up real easy. Make that just all disappear.
Meanwhile, looking to the future, Randy in PA says, I'd like to put a wind turbine on that cross.
Yeah, it's going to be bigger. We got big wind farms around here, though. We are proud of that. We do have a lot of wind farms around this area. So, but I believe this is going to stick up a little higher than those. They want everybody to see it, Bob.
Yeah, we're in wind farm territory here, too. If you ever seen the BB commercial about Fowler, Indiana,
yeah,
I'm right.
20 miles from Fowler.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
You know, and I was watching that ad, Gary, and I was thinking, as a devotee of barbecuing, that would drive me batshit. Just trying to, because like when the, I've noticed with the propane griddle here, kindly provided by a listener, I should note, and thank you very kindly. We're having a wonderful time with it. I've noticed that on windy days, you know, it's there are just like a gas grill has those gas jet burners under it. Well, yeah. And there's just enough space between the griddle surface and the propane jets that on a windy day, it's harder to get that griddle surface as hot as you'd like because the wind blows all the propane flame sideways.
Oh yeah.
So I'd lose my mind where you are. It's probably why y'all don't have any good barbecue.
Well, you got to put it in a sheltered place, Bob.
Yeah.
You got right next to the house usually, and but not too close to where you set it on fire.
Not burning down the house is really the key to the whole barbecue idea. Speaking of which, I mean, I'm already thinking about warm weather. Because I want it so badly. I saw the coolest little gizmo for next spring. And I know Steve does. You know what a Strat case looks like? You know, it's rectangular, not the shape of the guitar. You know what I'm talking about, Steve? Steve still there?
Yeah, say again.
You know what a Strat case looks like? A Stratocaster.
Yeah.
It's rectangular instead of being the shape of the guitar.
Right. It's
about 4 feet long.
like straps, correct?
Stratocaster. Fender Stratocaster. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
yes.
It's about 4 feet, about a rectangle, about 4 feet long, about a foot and a half, 2 feet, 2 feet wide.
Yes.
Well, I was looking around. I found a collapsible aluminum picnic table that folds down into a little self-enclosing box the size of a Stratocaster case. And I just looked at that thing and said, oh, that's a gotta.
And it doesn't weigh a ton?
No, it's aluminum. You know, it's you know, it's an aluminum alloy, so it weighs like aluminum weighs, and you just boom, 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 and it folds out, and bang, picnic table.
Man, that's pretty cool.
It'd be great, you know, throw it into the trunk and get your little Acorn Junior smoker. You know, that thing will hold a couple of racks of ribs or a pork shoulder.
And find a cool spot. Yeah.
Yeah. Man. And just go off and spend a weekend.
I'll be damned.
Oh, and we were talking about time zones and diminution of the light and things like that. Clarity sent this along earlier today, and it's somebody with a name I can't pronounce saying, Middle Europeans, wow, the sun sets early in the winter. Weird how it can be dark outside at 6 p.m. Scandinavian replies, and this also applies to people like me in Appalachia, saying, it gets so goddamn dark and it's getting a little bit cold now. Iceland would like to have a word. This is fun.
It made me really fucking angry. You know, I get 3 hours of sunlight per day. Every day, 3 hours. Guess what time it is? Look around. It's a beautiful day in sunny Reykjavik.
By the way, he's being sarcastic. When he says look around, all you can see is him because there's a light on him because it's pitch fucking dark. So with that in mind, let's go back.
Time it is! Look around! It's a beautiful day in sunny Reykjavik at 20 minutes past 3 o'clock. I have to sit for 2 hours in front of ultraviolet light. I drink this lisi. Do you know what lisi is? Lisi is oil from fish. I drink fish shit 2 times per day. This stops me from being funny in the head. I'll take you for a journey. Come with me. This is what I do every day after coming from work. I take my dog for a walk in this beautiful park here. Can you see? No, you can't see because it's fucking too dark.
Is that just beautiful? And that was posted 2 days ago. And he says, see? And no, it's pitch goddamn dark. So,
Clarity,
you know,
Clarity's an oracle, man. She
sent that along, and I showed it to Agnes, and, you know, Agnes shot coffee out of her nose laughing. So I'm going to try to keep it in perspective, you know, bitching about the cold and the dark and everything.
And there, one arrow a year, twice a year, we got to deal with.
And what is this? And twice a day I drink lisi. Do you know what lisi is? It's fish oil. Twice a day I drink fish shit. So I don't go funny in the head.
Once again, this program went where, Bob?
Straight in the fucking gutter.
Sand and sea.
Randy informs us most of Iceland is at 66 degrees north latitude. I always hear people say that, you know, the Icelanders are so nice. And that it's actually kind of cool to go there in the dead of winter because you can get the northern lights, and who wouldn't want to see the northern lights? And maybe a day or two. And
there's a lot of places that are beautiful to visit.
Right, and John Briniveau, apparently, that's an entire nation of people with hollow legs because they can drink. They could drink any American hardcore under the table.
You come, people from cold weather, they drink a lot, Bob. They got to keep the antifreeze level up.
Well, look at the per capita annual brandy consumption solely in the state of Wisconsin.
Mm.
Yeah. Look at Alaska.
I didn't even know what schnapps was until I met a Yankee. Schnapps, what's that?
Somebody said Alaska. I thought I seen the TV show for a lot of parts. It's illegal.
Stuff in the winter.
Is that true or Alaska?
Well, there's a lot of alcoholism totally problems.
Yeah.
This time of year because it's so dark. It's just dark like 28 hours a day.
And there's what do they call them? Providences? I don't know.
Precincts? My brother up in Tennessee was telling me, oh, look, I learned this new thing. He took a potato and he cut it in half and he went out to his windshield and he wiped it on the damn windshield. And it keeps ice from forming on your windshield. That really worked, he said. Yeah. But I told him I moved someplace where ice doesn't form on my windshield. That's how I fixed that.
Okay, now hold on. This is another one of those little moments. You know, a minute ago, Roger mentioned Bermuda, and we've got a listener in Bermuda. And now we've mentioned Alaska and Tennessee in the same conversation.
And you got Horn family.
Well, not just that. No, I have The Cremation of Sam McGee by Robert W. Service. There are strange things done in the midnight sun by the men who moil for gold. The Arctic trails have their secret tales that would make your blood run cold. The northern lights have seen queer sights, but the queerest they ever did see was that night on the marge of Lake Lebarge I cremated Sam McGee. Now Sam McGee was from Tennessee, where the cotton blooms and blows. Why he left his home in the south to roam round the pole, God only knows. He was always cold, but the land of gold seemed to hold him like a spell, though he'd often say in his homely way that he'd sooner live in hail. On a Christmas day, we were mushing our way over the Dawson Trail. Talk of your cold. Through the parka's fold, it stabbed like a driven nail. If our eyes we'd closed, then the lashes froze, till sometimes we couldn't see. It wasn't much fun, but the only one to whimper was Sam McGee. And that very night, as we lay packed tight in our robes beneath the snow, and the dogs were fed and the stars overhead were dancing heel and toe, he turned to me and, "Cap," says he, "I'll cash in for this trip, I guess. And if I do, I'm asking that you won't refuse my last request." Well, he seemed so low that I couldn't say no. Then he says with a sort of moan, "It's the cursed cold, and it's got right hold till I'm chilled clean through to the bone. Yet 'tain't being dead. It's my awful dread of the icy grave that pains. So I want you to swear that foul or fair, you'll cremate my last remains." A pal's last need is a thing in heed, is a thing to heed, so I swore I would not fail. And we started on the streak of dawn, but God, he looked ghastly pale. He crouched on the sleigh, and he raved all day of his home in Tennessee, and before nightfall a corpse was all that was left of Sam McGee. There wasn't a breath in that land of death, and I hurried, horror-driven, with a corpse half-hid that I couldn't get rid because of a promise given. It was lashed to the sleigh, and it seemed to say, "You may tax your brawn and brains, but you promised true, and it's up to you to cremate those last remains." Now, a promise made is a debt unpaid, and the trail has its own stern code. In the days to come, though my lips were dumb, in my heart how I cursed that load. In the long, long night by the lone firelight, while the huskies round in a ring howled out their woes to the homeless snows, oh, God, how I loathed the thing. And every day that quiet clay seemed to heavy and heavier grow. And on I went, though the dogs were spent and the grub was getting low. The trail was bad and I felt half mad, but I swore I would not give in. And I'd often sing to the hateful thing, and it hearkened with a grin. Till I came to the marge of Lake Lebarge, and a derelict there lay. It was jammed in the ice, but I saw in a trice it was called the Alice May. And I looked at it, and I thought a bit, and I looked at my frozen chum. Then here, I said with a sudden cry, is my crematorium! Some planks I tore from the cabin floor, and I lit the boiler fire. Some coal I found that was lying around, and I heaped the fuel higher. The flames just soared, and the furnace roared, such a blaze you seldom see. And I burrowed a hole in the glowing coal, and I stuffed in Sam McGee. Then I made for a hike, for I didn't like to hear him sizzle so. and the heavens scowled, and the huskies howled, and the wind began to blow. It was icy cold, but the hot sweat rolled down my cheeks, and I don't know why, and the greasy smoke in an inky cloak went streaking down the sky. I do not know how long in the snow I wrestled with grisly fear, but the stars came out, and they danced about ere again I ventured near. I was sick with dread, but I bravely said, "I'll just take a peep inside. I guess he's cooked, and it's time I looked." And then the door I opened wide. And there sat Sam, looking cool and calm in the heart of the furnace roar, and he wore a smile you could see a mile, and he said, "Please close that door. It's fine in here, but I greatly fear you'll let in the cold and storm. Since I left Plum Tree down in Tennessee, it's the first time I've been warm." Robert W. Service was a genius. And so when you mention Alaska and Tennessee in practically the same breath, you immediately conjure Robert W. Service and the cremation of Sam McGee.
Boy, howdy shit. If that wasn't just a fine reading, Bob, that was just outstanding. If there ain't a reason for somebody else to donate out there, there's a reason right there. Not only good conversation, but where are you going to hear a reading like that?
Books on audio sponsored by the Horn. Bob,
really?
Right?
Really? Who needs Jack London? Jeez.
Yeah, Bob, I'm just going to tune in and listen to your ass.
Yeah, F. Jack London.
Serious, people.
Call of the Wild. That was good,
this
Bob.
The show provides so much more.
Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Cheap Doggerel on tape.
Outstanding read, Bob. Outstanding read.
And Jim, of course, says, the cremation of Sam McGee, one of Reagan's favorites. He used to recite it a lot. Jesus, you had to do that, didn't you?
Threw that right in there.
Randy reminds us, I told you, Bob, for many people with seasonal disorder, the cure is Nature Made brand vitamin D3 and fish oil. Well, I take my fish oil every day. How come I hate this so damn much? About 24 minutes left in the program, and we're racing downhill toward that last $80. Jim reminds us that that fascist monument is the Spanish religious complex about 30 kilometers from Madrid, the Escorial. And Jim says it's magnificent. It is a thing to behold, I'm told. The other thing is Franco killed a shitload of political dissidents by forcing them to work on building it as slave labor, if I understand correctly.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Sparky.
You see my post of that sign?
Where?
In the Skype chat.
Oh, okay. Let me open it real quick.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, Spark.
I got a story about that.
No soliciting. We are too broke to buy anything. We know who we're voting for. We've found Jesus. Seriously, unless you're giving away beer, please go away. I want that sign.
I got it off on Amazon. It's coming, I don't know, be here probably tomorrow or something. But my wife was taking a shower in the afternoon the other day, and this Jehovah's Witness gal and her kids come up and rang our doorbell. So she thought it was probably our neighbor. So she got out of the shower, wrapped a towel around her, went over to the door to look out, and then she saw who it was, and then she said, "Go away." So when I come in the house, she told me about it, and she said, "I want a no soliciting sign." So I said, "Okay, I'll see what I can do."
Well, you found a Jim Dandy.
I love that one, Sparky. That's great. Care to read it?
I just did.
What?
Oh.
You didn't hear Bob read it?
Oh, never mind.
He's better reading than I am.
No soliciting. We are too broke to buy anything. We know who we're voting for. We've found Jesus. Seriously, unless you're giving away beer, please go away.
That's right.
Yeah, it's only, I think it was $9 on Amazon. So that's going out my front door.
That is great. Well, do Jehovah's Witnesses ever give away a beer? I don't think so.
I went out and I opened the door, and then after that happened, I opened the door and there, the literature falls out. They stick in the door. So I seen her car was still across the street because you can tell when there's somebody because they would have these kind of fancy cars. And then so I walked over there. I was going to stick it underneath the windshield. And then I said, no, I wanted to see it. So I was going to stick it in the door. She comes walking down the street. And I says, is this your garbage? And she goes, I'll take it. I'll take it. And I said, yeah. And I said, don't ever come around here again. So that's what I did. But then I ordered that sign. Went and found that sign. I said, this is perfect.
I think I'm going to have to, because, you know, every time the Jehovah's Witnesses show up, Agnes has to go and hide in the bathroom because they love her. Everybody loves Agnes. And long ago, we developed a term for that. When the Jehovah's Witnesses show up, Agnes goes into the Witness Protection Program, which is also known as hiding in the bathroom. Hey, Billable Rick, you still there?
Yeah, Bob. Yeah.
I got an Iowa-centric question for you.
Fire away.
Have you ever eaten a Made Right sandwich from the Made Right chain in Iowa?
I think I may have. I'm somewhat familiar with the chain. It wasn't like a go-to place for me necessarily.
It's described as an incredibly popular loose meat sandwich in Iowa, and just the idea, the term loose meat is enough to keep me from ever going there.
Yeah, I mean, it's not exactly like loose slots, you know, like you hear their advertisements for casinos. Oh, we have the loosest slots around. Come and gamble, you know.
I mean, it's just like some chopped up beef or something.
Yeah, it probably is. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that doesn't appeal to me, really.
I've seen it mentioned a few times, and it's like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, it's in connection with what, the candidates visiting Iowa for the caucus coming up,
Just, you know, you see these things, iconic food of every state, you know, that.
Okay, well, yeah, I don't know if it's, you know, Made Right's not necessarily a real big deal.
It's a steamed bun with what looks like hamburger meat that wanted to be chili but didn't get finished, and they threw some chopped onions and pickles on top of it.
Okay. Those are pretty good, I think, actually. I think those are pretty good. Now that you've described it more fully, it's like a bar. It's like a,
it looks like a sloppy Joe with a lid on it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's not bad. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty good.
Since 1926, it just looks like, I'll probably get hate mail from Iowa. Oh, you barbarian, you don't love the Made Right? Never been there.
Oh, there we go. Okay, Steve just posted the picture. Let's see here.
Yeah, see, it's just kind of gray and sad.
It's like, is it like shredded beef, or what is that exactly?
That's just grass, just hamburger meat.
Huh. It's not even, doesn't even have enough juice to be considered a sloppy Joe.
Right. It's like, it's like sloppy Joe that somebody got tired and quit on.
A dry burger. Yeah. Yuck.
Hamburger tartare.
Yeah. That's like a dry hamburger with, you know, it's basically, it's not a dried hamburger. It's a dry sloppy Joe.
Doesn't look like anything I'd travel any distance to get.
The bun looks greasy, too. The bun looks greasy, too. Just the
It's
in the
steamed.
The bun is. Okay. Yeah.
We're gooning on it, and it may be good. I've never tried it. I don't know.
It may be good. I mean, the onions and the pickles.
Oh, you know what just broke my damn heart the other day?
What?
My dear friend B. Rez and his lovely bride and their family finally quit West Virginia and did what all West Virginians do, moved to Florida.
Oh.
And so he's thriving down there. B-Rez is a big, big, big wrestling fan. And so he's created this wrestling podcast that's just bringing in listeners hand over fist. I'm so proud for him. I could just bust. But son of a gun, you want to talk? I mean, you want to talk about no justice in the world? His lovely wife posted a picture the other day of them at Culver's. Now, the Upper Midwest members of the Horn Family Community Congregation will know that Culver's is a beloved chain that began in Wisconsin and has slowly expanded. And there's one in Bowling Green, Kentucky, for instance, and there's a few in Ohio.
Is that where the massacre occurred, Bob? The Bowling Green Massacre?
Yes, absolutely. But
that's what I thought.
That's kind of, it's kind of beside the point. We're telling a story here, Rick. So Ohio, Kentucky just blew right past West Virginia. Fuck the hillbillies. They couldn't possibly want fresh Wisconsin cheese curds and beautiful fresh beef butter burgers. Oh, hell no. But they're in Tennessee, and son of a gun, they're in Florida. Of course they're. Oh,
jeez.
Damn it. Hell, they're in Georgia. They're in Georgia. When we went to the Malloy Mountain weekend, son of a gun, there was a Culver's. You can throw a rock from where Steve from Georgia Stan lives and hit a Culver's out on Georgia 400. There ain't no justice. I can't even get a goddamn crystal. I can't get Popeyes here. I need to be independently wealthy just so I can bring some decent chains into this state.
Hey, there you go, Bob.
My heart does not bleed for you for the crystals, but the other food items, I'm with.
Oh, you got to. Have you ever had a Culver's burger, Steve?
Yes. And there's another one. Freddy's makes a really good burger too.
Never heard of Freddy's.
Freddy's is awesome, man. They're just as good as Culver's, in my opinion. They're charbroiled. There's no grease, and they almost burn them. You know, if you're into something like that, it's almost burnt, but it's really good though.
Well, we still got to get you to that Korean barbecue over there in Cumming, too.
Yeah, Karen and I were talking about that yesterday, as a matter of fact. It's like, what are we going to do this weekend?
So we'll need a review and a trip report on that.
You got it, man.
So I found myself a new karaoke place for Thursday nights. It's a lot of fun. It's a real raucous bar. It's called the Red Tavern. The Red Lion Tavern, and they got great German beer. I always drink Spaten when I'm there, and just a lot of nice folks, and the wait staff is wonderful, and the karaoke master is really good, you know, real cool guy. And one of the guys that always shows up dresses up like Bono and always does U2 songs. So it was a lot of fun last night. I got to do a couple of songs. I did The Doors, Lover Madly, and what else did I do? Oh, I did Billy Idol, White Wedding. That was pretty crazy.
Nice.
I was like manic during that last song.
Karaoke's fun. I had to quit for a while, but I may start it again.
Oh, good for you, man. You got a joint you go to there, Steve?
Yeah, it's a bowling alley, a Brunswick down in Roswell, Georgia.
Oh, hot damn, that's cool. I've
been singing Cats in the Cradle there. Then when I went as a professional musician, it's really not fair to do karaoke, so I quit. But yes. I haven't played professionally in years, so I think I wouldn't be breaking any rules if I went back to karaoke. And it's a lot of fun, you know?
Hey, you know, there's nothing wrong with pros trying it. Cause I mean, hey, in the LA area, there's so many talented people, so many good voices. And, you know, some of the karaoke here is just so, so amazing.
It's like an unspoken rule. Well, it is around this area. If you play professionally, you really shouldn't do karaoke, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, You need to practice, though, sometimes in front of a crowd, though, right? Don't you?
Yeah. But when you played in front of 10,000, playing in front of 50, it's...
Well, it's still a crowd. It's still a crowd, Steve.
Yeah.
It's not the numbers. It's the fact that you got a live audience.
Yeah, there you go.
You're performing. You're performing, right?
Yeah, old Bob can sing.
Oh, yeah.
That's why he's taking off. He's going karaoke on Friday. That's
That's what I'm doing.
I knew I'd be busted.
Well, you know, actually, Bob, I think you need to replace giving up cigarettes with something else, something positive. So maybe you should do like treat yourself to karaoke once a week or something like that as a reward.
I would be run out of the county if I did that.
Yeah. You guys have karaoke joints, I'm sure, don't you? That, you know.
Oh, they're everywhere.
Oh no, we've got Maggie's over in Fayetteville has karaoke.
Okay. It's fun, but it's a lot of fun. What's your song of choice, Bob? Confess, man.
Fat Man in the Bathtub.
Oh, Little Feet, correct? Or
okay.
Off Waiting for Columbus.
Okay.
I said Juanita, my sweet Juanita, what are you up to, my Juanita?
Nice.
Now, I love the beginning of that song.
The whole song is—it's just a great tune,
and you get to do that growly voice that Lowell George did. Spot check Willie got down on his hands and knees, said, hey mama, let me check your oil, all right?" And she said, "No, no, honey, not tonight. You come back Monday, you come back Tuesday." And then I might. So.
Ooh, nice. Mic drop. Bob was groaning, man.
Hey, speaking of a gravelly voice.
Always holding out, man.
Somebody
give yourself a cowbell.
Yeah, cowbell.
He can sing, man.
That's good. Awesome. Someone actually did, you know the song Minnie the Moocher by Cab Calloway?
Yes.
That's a great karaoke song, you know? And it gets the crowd involved, you know.
Who's that lawyer? That's his theme song. He broadcasts out of your area, Rick. I think his name's Bill Handel. He's kind of
Handel on the law.
Yeah, but he's fun. He's funny. That's his theme song.
KKFI.
Yeah.
No, KKFI.
It's just KK. Okay.
The Nazi.
All right.
Nazi.
Well, okay. Hey, Billable. You gotta get somebody on the smartphone next time, because Darlene just said, "Oh, my God, I'd pay to watch and hear Billable Rick do Billy Idol's White Wedding, LOL.
I'm going to do it just for Darlene. I'm going to have somebody film me next time, okay? I'll do it Wednesday night.
I'll be gone Thursday and Friday, but come more in, well, not, I mean, not more in Monday material, okay. But maybe we'll run it on the following Friday on the front porch.
That'd be great. Nice. Yeah.
And thank you to Annette. Annette, thank you very, very kindly for jumping in. I think Annette's the first, if I don't, I'm going to try to remember all the names. Annette may be a first timer, jumping in on fundraising. So a cowbell for Annette. We got $70 to go now. Thank you so very much. Thank you very much indeed. Ron and Raleigh says, "You're going to hate me. Not only do we have a Wegmans, we have a Culver's. We have everything. Here in Raleigh." Yeah.
They have Trader Joe's too, I suppose, right?
Oh, yeah, right across from Wegmans.
Okay. They have Whole Foods?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, God.
And it's probably catty-cornered to Wegmans.
Oh, geez.
Note coming in from Mike in Cascadia, Spain, Valley of the Fallen, and Franco. "I was in Madrid a few weeks ago." I remember, Mike, you dropped a note. "There was news then that after a long deliberative process, the Spanish government had legislated to remove Franco's remains from the Valley of the Fallen. The caretaker Prime Minister of Spain, Pedro Sanchez, of the Socialist Party, had pledged to eliminate what United Nations rapporteurs have described as an international anomaly, having an autocrat buried in a state-run mausoleum that draws tourists and far-right sympathizers and also contains the remains of nearly 34,000 victims of the Spanish Civil War. Interestingly, there was a scuffle when the Spanish police detected a security breach. One of Franco's grandkids had snuck a video camera in a writing pen into the ceremony. The government had ruled no videoing allowed since the video would be used for far-right propaganda." And Mike says, "Great show, Bob." Thank you, Mike. I probably ruined it all with the singing. And this from Lady B.
Stop it.
This from Lady B. "You said, 'It looks like a sloppy Joe someone up and quit on.' Lady B says, 'I laughed and said aloud, Yeah, they were probably like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll never live up to my parents' expectations anyway. We're both laughing now. Great show. Thank you, Lady P.
Hey, Bob, I was going to say, it was great hearing from Sandra.
Oh, wasn't it?
Earlier
yeah.
Actually, it was last night, wasn't it? Last night.
Yeah.
You did a bunch of calls, mostly. It was almost like a non-filibuster. It was great, though.
Oh, it was, no, I had a lot of fun last night. It was a delight. All right, who did that? By the way, Brother Deacon Asa concurs with Steve from Georgistan. Freddy's Frozen Custard, that's the full name of the chain, is absolutely awesome. Why have I never heard of this place? Because I'm in West Virginia.
You got Burger King and McDonald's.
I've never heard of it either, Bob.
We got backyard burgers where there's a free Bible verse on every throwaway product. Beverage cups, sandwich wrappers, French fry packets, they've all got a Bible verse.
As does In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah, I got to drive 40 miles to get an In-N-Out Burger.
You know, John Britovo had to split, but I would be tickled pink with a Whataburger.
Well, Freddy's is very similar to Steak and Shake.
I love Steak and Shake. I love Steak and Shake burgers because they've got those. They're about the size of a sausage patty, only it's a ground beef. Yep. They put it on the griddle. They work it with those two spatulas until it's paper thin and absolutely lace edged.
Yes.
And it makes for a hell of a good burger.
You got one of those either.
And they make a killer milkshake.
Leave it to this little hick town to fuck up a Steak and Shake. They didn't short order anything. They did it like McDonald's and put it under heat lamp, and it didn't stay in business more than 2 years. Yeah, it's nasty. It gave the rest of the Steak and Shakes a really bad
name.
And
you can also get some imitation, almost Cincinnati style chili there because they put chili on top of spaghetti with shredded cheddar and stuff like that. But their spaghetti sauce doesn't have like the cinnamon in it like Cincinnati chili does. And I've gotten hate mail over the fact that I don't care for Cincinnati chili.
Hey, I posted a link. We were talking about cheese earlier. That there's an Oregon blue cheese
Rogue
River.
Nice.
That's the best cheese in the world, and I'm still looking for it in the local stores because I'm in Oregon, but I haven't found it yet. But I love a good blue cheese or a good port salut.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I love good blue. Or a good goat gorgonzola or a Roquefort.
I like goat cheese, yep.
I'm not a big goat cheese guy. That gamey
even
taste.
Even if it's flavored with, like, cranberries, it's still not for
you.
No,
because that gamey thing still comes through, and it just,
If you want a good goat cheese, look for Cypress Grove Chevrolet. It just changed and got bought out by a big Dutch outfit. But Cypress Grove Chevrolet, I used to clean out the manure from the goats that made that cheese, and Mary Keene, who owned it, made a fantastic cheese. Humboldt Fog is probably one of the best goat cheeses you could ever eat.
Doesn't have that gamey going for it?
No gamey at all. It's just a really smooth, flavorful cheese.
I'd give that a go. Of course, now, is that a big block or a small block Chevrolet?
It's small.
No, that's a joke. You know, engines, V8s, big block Chevrolet, small block, whichever.
Cowbell.
Not much of one. Back,
ever come back, go try Sweetgrass Dairy, Bob. They have an excellent goat cheese as well.
Ron is determined to become absolutely unbearably obnoxious this evening. Yeah, we got that too. There's a Whataburger out at the 540 Exchange. Put a sock in it, Ron, will you?
That's funny.
Yeah, we got socks too, Bob.
What a burger. I've never even heard of that.
Oh, it's Texas and the Gulf Coast, and it's yummy.
Is it good?
Yeah, they've got them in. They got them in Mobile when I go to visit my sister and brother.
So he wasn't being facetious then.
But I'll tell you what. Now you get down along the Gulf Coast. Get down along the Gulf Coast. The best. I mean, you know, the idea that there's such a thing as fast food, seafood, and being good at the same time. You immediately think of like Long John Silver's and Captain D's. No. A couple of good old boys down South Alabama decided to use the local shrimp and put together, and you know, the other local seafood, and put together a fast food chain. And it's some of the best damn shrimp you'll ever eat. And it's a chain called the Shrimp Basket. And it's all along the Gulf Coast. And it's, you know, damn delicious.
White Tower Hamburgers, early 60s.
White Tower, White Castle. East,
well, yeah, there's a difference.
Upper East Coast, 10-cent burgers.
It's pretty much morphed into the Crystals, hadn't it? I mean,
I don't know. I'm not on the East Coast anymore, but I remember when I was in early military service, the White Tower Hamburgers at 10 cents a piece were filled you up cheap.
Yeah. Now, Bob, wouldn't White Castle and Crystals, isn't there a connection there somehow?
No, they're completely separate and distinct entities. We talked about this the other night. White Castle is Midwestern, and Crystals started in the South.
Okay.
And then of course, no discussion of regional fast food would be complete without a mention of the Holy of Holies, namely the Varsity on North Avenue.
Yeah,
in Atlanta.
Soupy Sales used to bust there. You've been there many times, man.
Nothing like it. Well, we got to get out of here. It's been a fantastic conversation, y'all. And thanks to everybody who jumped in to help knock things down. Looks like we'll complete the week $70 in the hole. And, well, we'll start that way come more in Monday unless there's a change over the weekend thanks to the overnight crew. So thanks, everybody. Thanks, Sparky and Steve, moderating in the chat room. And thanks, Sparky, for moderating the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable here on the front porch. Thank you to all of you who keep the program going with your kind contributions, your subscriptions, and your a la carte kick-ins. Thank you very kindly to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatever manner you choose to participate. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, celebrating this year, 20 years, at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. And you know what, Ron? I don't care if y'all got five guys. We got five guys. Ugh. But I don't like to spend $20 for a hamburger. Ron's working at it this evening. Everybody, y'all have a great weekend. Later, y'all.